866-901-ADAM. Good morning, Teresa Strasser.
Good morning, Adam Carolla.
Good morning, Danny Bonaducci.
Good morning, Adam Carolla, Teresa Strasser, Big O'Brien.
No!
Well, I was watching CNN this morning, and they'd mentioned that Kimmel and Letterman and Leno and Conan and Craig Ferguson all magically didn't do a show last night.
Yeah.
Now, here's what I don't like. Remember we were talking to Nikki What's-Her-Nose yesterday, the entertainment expert reporter from the LA, and I must have told her six times, I talked to Leno yesterday, and I talked to Kimmel yesterday, and they don't plan on doing a show. And her answer was somewhere between, well, we'll see, and I think they're doing a show, or we don't know, or
I didn't think her answers were between anything. I think she called you wrong.
Basically, she did. Yeah. And I've had this situation happen 1,000 times. I feel like it happens between 2,000 and 3,000 times a month in my life, which is I know something about your field of expertise.
Right.
Why? I'm smart. See, when you're smart, you get to know a little something about most people's field of expertise because even though they don't want to admit it, most people's field of expertise, you could be an expert in just by being smart and reading one book for the most part or even a pamphlet. Now,
and there's tricks to it.
There's stuff like commercial airline pilot that you couldn't do. And it's one of the things I always liked and probably the only thing I liked about being a carpenter. Doesn't matter how smart you are, you don't know what a mortise is, and you just don't know what a purlin is, or a paralam, or glue lam beams, or parapets, or scuppers. You just, you don't know any of my terminology. You can't work my tools, and you can't do it. I could go to Bill Gates' house and go, I'm going to hang that door, and he would just wind his beanie up and stand there drooling, watching me do it. That's the one thing I always enjoyed about being a carpenter, but everybody else, I've talked to 1,000 attorneys where I've had a better idea than they've had it. You know, where I've said, well, wait a minute, why should we go to them with that? Let's not go to them and let's wait them out. And they went, that's a pretty good idea. And I thought, why am I paying you $400 an hour so I can have good ideas? But we told that entertainment chick, at least I told her 5 times, I don't think any of these shows are going back tonight. And she said, yeah, they are, or the jury's out. Basically, what she was saying is, don't tell me I'm the expert. I will go against what you're saying.
She flat out said, Leno will be on tonight.
What she said was they might recycle some jokes that they hadn't used from the previous week.
Yeah, but which you can't is recycle a re- without which, doing a show.
Which is a first off, bitch, I talked to Leno. I'm talking to you, T. No. I told you I talked to Leno 19 hours earlier, not a day earlier. I talked to Leno on Sunday at noon. It was 8 a.m. on Monday, you know. I said I talked to Leno and I talked to Kimmel, and they both said they're not doing a show. A, that should be good for something, right?
Yeah.
The folks who host the show told me they weren't doing the show.
Yeah, it's called a first-hand account in news.
Right. She something that rhymes with account.
It's close.
It's pronounced
to
just a little bit. She was acting.
You know.
No, look. She was.
She's a good writer.
She was nice and everything. Here's what happened, and here's what I was vibing on. And I've had this happen a million times. And you guys tell me if you know what I'm talking about, or it happens in your life, or I'm too sensitive to this. I don't know. I'm asking
at least 3 of the 5 of those.
I'm asking this. I feel in almost every endeavor of business, not show business or entertainment reporting or anything like that. Just if a guy comes to your house and he's a heating and air expert and you say to him, I think it makes a little more sense to do this. Or my father-in-law used to do this and he told me once this was a better way to do it. You'll always meet with opposition.
Right.
She, as an entertainment reporter who seemed to know more about the strike than anyone we could talk to and had her finger on the pulse of what was going on out there, her first piece of information should have been, are these guys doing a show tonight or not? That should have been the first box she checked when she was investigating this. When she got out her pipe and her magnifying glass and her funky hat, the one, what's his name used to wear
Watson.
When he called for Watson.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, Sherlock Holmes. That's amongst the first two or three questions she should have found out answers to, right? T is a journalist. Why was she resisting me so much when I kept saying to her, and then I didn't want to rub it in her face, but she said, well, they may be recycling some jokes. And I thought, that doesn't make sense. They're not going to, Kimmel and Letterman and Leno and all these guys, they're not going to show up to work at 9 a.m. on Monday, go through a pile of jokes from last week and try to cobble together a monologue. I knew it wasn't going to happen. So I gave her about three tries. You know, I said, well, I spoke to them, or I heard last time, or they said they were going to take a couple. And she kept disagreeing. However I formed the question, she disagreed, essentially. She didn't have a good argument. She just disagreed. She didn't say, well, I heard, or I spoke to Letterman earlier, or anything. She just disagreed. And I felt like she was just disagreeing because she's the expert, and there was a layperson telling the expert what was going to happen, and experts hate when lay people tell them how it works. So she disagreed. We went around about three times. I wasn't going to give it a fourth time. And you don't want it to get to that point where you go, hey, you're not listening to me. I talked to not Letterman's publicist or not Leno's publicist. I didn't talk to Kimmel's second in command. I talked to Kimmel and I talked to Leno, and they said no. And that was as of 14 to 17 hours ago. So listen, you don't want to go down that route. But then it doesn't happen, and the person will never apologize, and they'll never say they were wrong, and they'll never go, you know what? Yeah, no, I did say it. No, they'll go, no, I said what might happen is, but we all know from being in the room and that conversation we had.
I listened on the way in. I know exactly what she said because I thought it was funny. I thought I took, you know, a moment to listen to her say, no, these guys, they're going to do the show. Here's what might happen. But what might happen is how they did the show, not might do the show. The shows were happening. The rights were about how they could happen.
Now, I don't feel like she knew, and I don't think she knew she knew. All she knew is the dope from North Hollywood was going to tell her her business, and she didn't dig it. And I've had that happen a million times in my life where I said to the expert, hey, doesn't it make more sense to do it this way? And they've said, no, that's impossible. That's not going to work that way. And then it turns out to be that way. I want to strangle these people, because when I say to Teddy, the phone screener, here's what I'm thinking about doing, and he goes, I don't know, that's a bad idea, I think, all right, here's the $6 I owe you for last hour. Now get me another coffee. I'm going to do it that way. But when the expert...
Who screens these
calls? Sorry, Teddy. When the expert... That's after taxes, by the way, the
right.
$6.
Yeah.
It's closer to $8.
We're going to break down. I got to fire a call screener.
But when an expert says to you, hey, man, this ain't going to work, now you have to pause. Now you have to go, wait a minute. This person's an expert at this. They told me this wasn't going to work. And you really have to go, geez, I don't know. And then when it does work, I get extra pissed at this so-called expert. And I just feel there's a lot of that going around on this planet. Whether you're an expert in the Middle East and you're explaining what's going to go on and it never goes on, whether you're an expert fill in the blank, whether you're an expert, whether you're an entertainment reporter, we talk to you to try to figure out what's going to happen in the future.
Right.
We all know now that these guys didn't do a show.
Yeah.
As of yesterday morning, we had no idea. You, the expert, were 180 degrees off of what actually happened.
So I have a question. Are you more upset that the expert disagreed with the dope from North Hollywood, or do you just want to start thanking this woman right now because the expert proved you know best? Which do you want to do? Do you want to go, hey, we had an expert whose job it is, and once again, they didn't know as well as Corolla.
You know what?
I'd revel in that.
Here's what I think is going on, or something that's a something that's an issue in my life. There was a time, I do believe, maybe I'm just waxing nostalgic, but there was a time when you didn't pipe up unless you had an answer. Not everyone chimed in all the time and said, I know this to be true. Now we're living in a society where everyone just runs their mouth and they don't get held accountable. I've had it happen many, many times where I've said, no, no, this is not the way it is. And the person, oh, listen, I absolutely 1,000%. You know, did people in the turn of the century wearing top hats and pocket watches go, dude, I know 100,000,000,000%. I'm totally 1,000% right here. And you're stupid and wrong. Like, I just feel like people would say, like, even if the guy knew the answer and was invented the invention or wrote the book himself, he'd be like, sir, I do believe you may be mistaken, possibly, in this matter. I do believe this is the answer. But I will apologize if I'm wrong. Now we have people that know nothing going, dude, I'm 1,000,000,000,000,000% sure that I know what's happening.
Well, first of all, the last person to say dude in the top hat was Flavor Flav.
Yeah.
And who's really going to listen to him?
Yeah.
His clocks are actually wrong. You ever notice that?
No,
the man wears a clock for a living and never knows what time it is.
Well, he never really gets a good look at it except for in the mirror, and then it's backwards.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I just mean, I resent it because I feel like I've been talked out of a lot of thoughts. I don't like it. Yeah. Like, here's what I don't like. I don't like getting in my car at 11 in the morning yesterday and driving home and thinking to myself, huh, I wonder if Leno was BSing me.
Right.
I wonder if Kimmel knew. I know Kimmel wouldn't BS me. Maybe Kimmel didn't know what was going on. Maybe they're doing a show. No, and then I think,
I'm watching TV at Kimmel's house. He's just a guy to you.
Then I think, well, this is going to be kind of embarrassing if I turn on the TV tonight and I see Leno doing a fresh monologue about the writer strike. Although, if I did a late night show, I would bank one monologue about a writer strike.
That's smart.
Ah,
wow.
And he can't do it the first night.
Go back and record that, baby. Scare the bejesus out of your writers.
He really can't do that because he has to show solidarity with his writers. And as you probably know, Leno was out dropping off donuts.
Gee whiz. Did I say to the expert, these guys have to show solidarity with the writers and they're going to stand by them? And she's like, oh, these guys go. I was essentially telling her what was going on, at least in the world of late night.
It deeply troubles you when someone questions what you know to be true. Deeply.
It does, because it's all you have as an individual is that little compass inside of you that says, this is true north. And when somebody gets in and sort of waves a magnet around your compass, then you start walking and you start sailing off into the sunset and you start thinking, wait a minute, am I heading for the Land's End? Am I going to go off the edge of the earth? I think I'm heading toward the new world, but maybe I'm just going in a circle out here in the middle of the Atlantic.
And chances are, if you're heading off into the sunset, you're not heading north.
Mm-hmm. That's a good point.
Yeah.
My point is this. I think we all have that thing inside of us, and we need to feel like we know what we know. Somebody said to me, one of my buddies, after collecting on a bet, not the bet about New England covering the spread last Sunday. I was not right about that one. But my buddy said, why are you always right when I argue with you? You're always right. He was angry. And I said, I don't open my mouth unless I know I'm right. It's real easy. It's just about batting average. It's not how many times you get to the plate. It's how you do when you get to the plate. And I don't do that thing where I go, $100. I don't think that used to happen so much. Again, maybe I'm all wrong, but 100 years ago were guys who know nothing so quick to go, okay, dude, $100.
Now see, what you do is you don't open your mouth unless you know or truly believe yourself to be correct. I do one of two things. One, I don't open my mouth unless I believe myself to be correct, or, and I choose this one more often, I hang around with really stupid people.
Right.
So even if it turns out I'm wrong, I can convince them rather easily that I was right. Yeah. I hang out with people I can convince they're on fire.
Yes.
You don't smell that.
I know what you're saying. Right. I feel like the computers made everyone an expert now. Yeah. That everyone with their BlackBerry and their Google can now shut almost anybody down. It's a weird world we're living in.
To one of my favorite shows. It was just actually wasn't even a show. It was a comment. And Amy and I talked about it all night and hit Google all night. You talked about curiosity.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people, 90% of people, when you talk about Google and BlackBerry can just about shut anybody down, if they're interested enough to get up, get across the room, and get it. And they're not.
Well,
they're not.
I can dig it, but, like, I'll give you a quick example. My buddy Ray is a loudmouth. He always was a loudmouth. And he was able to shut people down. There's a lot of people that are this way. Kimmel's kind of this way, except for he's a lot smarter than Ray. There is a technique for arguing with people where you can shut them down, and minus the actual factual information, the person will back down. See, I would back down because I have no self-esteem. And I would get into bets with people, and they'd go, dude, you're totally wrong. I just saw a special on it on the History Channel. You're 100% wrong. I know this to be a fact, but if you want to lose $100, because last night I was sitting in my living room and I just watched an entire 1 hour special on it, then shake, because if you don't think the Vietnam War took place in the 30s and you're ready to lose $100 because I just saw on the History, come on, put your hand out. And I would just stand there and go, geez, I thought I knew it took place in the 60s and early 70s, but this guy just saw a 1 hour special on the History Channel. It seems so animated about it. All right, forget it. And then you'd walk away, and then it would be forgotten about, and then you'd move on with your life. Now, you can go check it right then
almost
and there, and the guys who won a lot of bets by bluffing, by getting you to fold. See, a guy like Ray, my buddy Ray, would shut you down by going all in. And you'd be looking at three of a kind, and he'd have a pair.
He'd go all in.
And he'd go all in by he'd start yelling at you and going, I'll bet you $1 million. Bet you right now, $1 million. $1 million. I just read a book. I just saw a documentary on this. And you'd go, forget. And then 2 months later, you'd find out. But then when you talk to him, they'd go, no, that's not what I said, dude. And that'd be the end of that.
Do you ever use the information that you've got just for your own amusement?
I don't know.
I
certainly not for the audience.
For no reason, I sat there in England asking, I'm on a bridge and looking at the Tower of Big Ben and asking if I can see Big Ben from here. And a bunch of British people saying, it's right there. I said, no, you can't see it from here. Is there anywhere I can see it from without going inside? And they say, it's right there. Because nobody knows that that's not Big Ben.
The big clock tower is not Big Ben.
No, the bell is. And you can't see it.
Oh, really?
So I do that kind of stuff all the time. I'll pick up a little piece of information that, like, it's obscure, and I'll just hang on to it forever. Like, everybody knows the captain should have been watching for ice, right? On the Titanic. But I know the name of the kid who turned around and saw the iceberg. Because they said on the History Channel, I said, that's the piece of information that I'm going to need to be really interesting about the Titanic, because no one's going to know that but me.
And I would never bet on that because I know I don't know that. But I'll tell you, there's nothing more satisfying than getting into an argument with someone at a restaurant and having a third buddy. This is Ray and I arguing about something to do with aircraft manufacturing. And my third buddy, Daniel, pulled out his BlackBerry. Ray and I bet $100. He punched it right on up and said, well, Ray, you're wrong, and showed the Google of the BlackBerry in real time. Yeah, the problem is Ray's poor, and I still had to pay for the dinner. Yeah. All right, we will take ourselves a break. Oh, you experts. We'll take ourselves a break. 866-901-ADAM. What can't Adam complain about? We'll do the lightning round version of it. That'll just be 1 minute. 1 minute per complaint. I'll have to be concise and stay on topic. 866-901-ADAM. What can Adam complain about next?
Back to the Adam Carolla Show with Adam Carolla, Danny Bonaducci, and Teresa Strasser, where it's time for a spirited round of what can't Adam complain about. Call 866-901-ADAM, give the ace man a topic, and find out how he can complain about anything.
I don't think you can complain about when the car ahead of you pays at the toll booth.
Because the person in front of you is paid, you must pay it forward. Otherwise, you're going to have horrible karma. So that person has forced you to pay for the person behind you. That makes me sick.
What can't Adam complain about on the Adam Carolla Show?
All right. Let's see.
I'm curious about this one.
Yeah. limiting it to just 1 minute?
Oh. Well, not really limiting it to 1 minute, as much as I'm interested in the fact that the segment is, according to my clock, several minutes long, which means you are going to be thrust against more problems to complain about than usual. So not only do you have to move faster, you're going to have more things to confront. So it's kind of a double whammy. It should be at least twice as difficult, but doing the math, it should be cubed, so four times.
Most men would be nervous at this stage. Not me.
Here's what I'm nervous about, though. I'm not nervous about your ability to complain about anything, but can you stop at 1 minute? If you're just about...
I just asked him for his bell.
There.
I said, do you want me to do the bell for you? Do you want me to ring the bell for you in a minute? He goes, oh, I got it.
Do you think you can stop mid-complaint if you're really getting going?
Here's my problem.
It's like alcohol, man. I remember thinking I can stop anytime I want. Yeah. I remember saying it, Adam, that bell.
Well,
and complaining.
Stopping sex just before the end?
My problem with the complaining, that's less than a minute. My problem, the problem with the complaining, and me, really, quite honestly, is the new idea that comes into my head.
Yeah. Right.
It's not the continuation of the old thought. That I'm fine with. But biting my tongue and clamping my jaw when a new idea, you see, the way this stuff works, obviously I don't have this stuff figured out in advance. And I'll start off with one. That's right, I'm a comedy factory.
Not a warehouse.
Not a warehouse. And I'll start more of a gardening shed. I will start off with an idea, and that idea will go, and that idea will start to run its course, and I'll think, well, I've explored what I can explore in that idea. It's time to wrap it up. And then all of a sudden, a new idea will land on the same topic, and I'll go, no, this is the idea. This is the one I should have started with. This is the one I've been looking for, and if it's time to stop when that one pops in, it's hard to ignore.
You today are going to have to smother your newborn brain children.
Wow.
That's right. That's right.
Ladies and gentlemen, stay tuned for the abortion of comedy.
That's right. Even if I got to go third trimester, get out the shop vac.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah. All right. I'm ready when you are, boss. Right, keep my eye on the clock.
You're watching the clock. All right. Shall we? Well, why don't you cue it up there, Brian? Danny, you just scream 10 seconds. See what I can do.
You got it.
All right, you ready, Bald Brian?
I'm going to go with your when you start answering.
Stuff.
All right.
The world is full of it, and one man has a complaint for it all. This is What Can't Adam Complain About?
Anthony.
Hey, Adam.
Topic, please.
Hey, you can't complain about a nice steamed hot dog with a nice snap and some relish and mustard on it.
Mmm, Chicagoan style. Love that dog. I like the egg bun, too, and I like it steamed better than grilled. But I just read an article yesterday in the L.A. Times that the Wiener Factory, that's right, no, not Bill the Board Ops one-bedroom apartment on the west side. The Wiener Factory, famous old landmark on Ventura Boulevard, a place from my youth that I remember enjoying dogs at and was able to buy my first Löwenbräu beer there when I was 17, is going out of business. Oh, they're going to put a Starbucks there. They're going to put a Pink Dot there. They're going to put some Nike store there. Our kids are going to grow up in a world with no ma and pa places anymore. And I know... I don't need the ma and the pa, but what about just a pa place? They're not, it's all going to be one big corporate mess. They're not going to know about individuality anymore. So I love a hot dog, but soon I'm going to have to buy one that's made by Starbucks.
57 seconds, ladies and gentlemen.
Not bad. Let's keep it moving.
Shane.
Hey, you can't complain about your homemade cranberry sauce.
Yes, I can complain about my homemade cranberry sauce. Why? Because I have to homemade it. Or homemake it. Whatever the tense is. Now I'm mad about that. You see, I go to people's houses for Thanksgiving and they open a can. I don't know why they do this with joy. They do it with pride. You brag about how long you slaved in the kitchen. You say, oh, your mother was in there for 17 hours cooking that turkey and mashing those potatoes and making those giblets and gravy. And then at the end of the whole thing, she caps it off with a can opening money shot. You're gonna open a can after 17 effing hours when this stuff is so easy to make, so I have to make it myself. And I have to bring it to people's houses. And it doesn't go over very well when you open a thing of Tupperware with your cranberry compote in it at someone else's house. Well, I don't care, because I'm not gonna eat gelatinized cranberry that the man puts in a can!
58 seconds.
All right. Hey, let's see. Oh, I'm just going to go down and punch a line. Jay?
Yes, sir.
What's your complaint slash question?
I bet you can't complain about being self-aware.
You don't think I can complain about that? The hypervigilance? The fact that I'm the kind of guy who I'll stand in my living room, the wind will blow outside, move a palm frond, and I'll jump and snap into some sort of combat-ready position. I'll throw a shoulder roll on my living room floor because a cat walked by the outside window stoop and I caught it out of the eye in the back of my head. It's great when you're driving, you never get into an accident because you see everything coming 10 seconds before it happens, but it sucks for life. It sucks for sleeping. You toss and turn all night. I have to put earplugs in and wrap my head like a burn victim in order to take a nap every afternoon. And just the fact that you notice everything, and believe me, when you notice everything, you'll not appreciate it. You'll hate it. You'll walk into a house and you'll go, what's that there? And who screwed that up? And why am I not getting what I wanted? And how come I'm paying so much for crap? And you'll want to kill yourself.
59 seconds.
All right. Let's talk to James.
Now he's getting freaky about getting right to 60.
I got to get to 60. James, what's up?
Hi, Adam.
Hey.
Hey, what's going on, Adam? How's it going this morning?
Good. Question. Comment.
You cannot complain. First of all, this is really John from Chino Hills who complains about Danny all the time.
Oh, hey, John.
Wow. Yeah. And you cannot complain about moon rocks.
Moon rocks.
Moon rocks.
And you complain about me?
All right. Moon rocks, the actual rocks that come from the moon.
Yeah.
We're not talking about something that Michael Jackson does or some gay position I've not heard of.
No.
The actual moon rocks. All right. All right. Here I go. Look, the moon in general, but especially the rocks are on it, turns out nothing. You know, we spend billions and billions of dollars. We go to the moon. We race the Ruskies there. It's a big deal. And we get there, and it turns out we have a place called the moon. It's called the desert, and it's halfway between here and Las Vegas. There's nothing to it. As a matter of fact, you want to make a movie where you're on the moon? You go out to Barstow or Baker. You pull off. You go about 100 yards behind the bun boy, and you set up a camera. There's nothing there. As it turns out, it's just a rock. First, we thought it was going to be cheese. Then we thought it was going to have Martians on it. Then aliens. Then hot aliens. I missed that part. Then there was going to be some keys. Some key that would unlock the mystery of the universe. Or something that cured cancer. Or something, some power source that we could harness. Turns out it was a lump of rock in the air that we spent $10 billion to get to. Kind of disappointing. As a matter of fact, I would just use the moon as an example when we're talking about further space exploration. It's essentially the Geraldo's vault in the air. It cost $10 billion
smother
to get
the baby,
to.
Adam, a minute's
all right,
up.
All right, yeah, all right, all right.
Although I must just point in at this juncture that I'm like the only chink in the armor of this segment has been the guy that doesn't like me. I think that's
moon
a good
rocks.
Time.
That was going to be a tough one.
All right, let's talk to Robert. Robert,
baby.
What do you got for us?
Well, I love you guys, but I know you cannot complain about what if Whoopi Goldberg left The View.
Oh, my God.
Whoopi leaving The View. All right. If she left The View, there'd be nothing in it for me. I couldn't watch because I couldn't hate. And what if I just watch and enjoy The View? I'd have to kill myself. You see, I can only watch and make fun of The View. It'd be like if what would happen to the Palestinian people if Israel just packed it up and went to Baja, California, like I've been suggesting. Oh, they thought I was insane 15 years ago. Now I'm starting to look like a sage, a retarded sage from North Hollywood. But you would have nothing to hate. You would have no enemies. Thus, you would not be inspired. I feel the same way about Whoopi and The View. If they took out Whoopi and put Kimmel in there or put Norm MacDonald in there, then I'd have to be watching. And the next thing you know, I'd be at some party with a beer in my hand going, you know what? I love The View. And I would be burned at the stake as a heretic. I would be beaten by a man show Stein. So I have a love-hate relationship with Whoopi, and I couldn't tolerate her leaving.
What up?
Oh, good, good one.
All right, let's see. Do I have one more left in me? Let's talk to... let's talk to Ashley. Ashley?
Hey.
What's your comment?
You can't complain about being on your period.
What?
Menstruation.
You mean if I had it or if I don't have it?
If you had it.
Not had.
Right, you're not saying that Adam is in the same level of Adam can't complain about being pregnant.
Right. Exactly.
Of course he cannot.
You're saying, I don't have a period. How can I complain about that?
Oh, I think you can.
Yes, okay.
All right, oh, yes. Sadly, this is easy. Okay, are we ready?
Yeah.
Here
ready.
We go. First off, you guys have a built-in, literally built-in excuse to get out of any event, any work-related event, anything you don't want to go to at all. It resides inside you. It is the ovaries, and it's your plenum, and it's whatever else you got in there. Look, I don't know all the parts. Intake manifold, plenum, exhaust manifold, hydraulic lifters, valve covers, ovaries, 400 linear feet of fallopian tubing. It's all in there, and no man will ever argue with you. Guys don't have that. If we say to our boss, I don't know, I got a little bit of a stomach ache. He suck it up, puss, and get to work. But if you're a lady and you go, I'm having a feminine prom, go home. Here is a bundle of money. And go home and stay home and don't come back until you're better. So, obviously, you guys have the built-in excuse. The other thing is you guys live longer than we do. And I wonder if this isn't connected to that. Either way, you give birth, you have, and I'd like to put a pad down there. I'd like to stuff a pad down my undershorts. I don't have an excuse to do it. But let me tell you what I'd like to do with that tampon.
I can tell you that was...
Great. Have a good day.
Thank you.
Minute 11.
Bye. Oh, man.
Close enough.
No,
I thought that went very well.
No. No. Mm-hmm. Adam cannot do these in a minute and then do one in a minute 11 and say okay. Mm. He has to solve the world's problems in 1 minute.
Yeah, I went fat on that last one.
Although, if there was one you had to go fat on.
What can't Adam complain about?
It wasn't fat, it was just a little bloated.
I'm smart. I'm sorry, but when you walk in here, as right as he was this morning, and Barry's the expert, and then says, now we're going to cure the world's ills in 1 minute, unless 1 minute turns out to be 71 seconds, I want my Corolla to fix the world's problem in 60 seconds, almost exactly. I'm as upset at 54 seconds as I am at a minute 11. He's got 60.
And
I want my problem solved in 60.
You know, it was the last...
I don't know what we're yelling about!
I want the goddamn billboards changed to America Really Smart Guy!
You know, it was the last question, and I got a little loose. You know what I mean? I got a little sloppy. I started coasting the last mile. That's what happened.
I'm not holding you to perfection on the first attempt out. It's a hard habit to break. And that is actually, you did far better than I had anticipated. I thought one call, 12 minutes.
Thank you for the advanced.
But I believe that you truly have it in you, that you can take a problem, no matter how big or stupid, and fix it. I thought actually in some cases you'd have to stall to get up to a minute, that you'd solve it in 40 seconds and then just a vamp.
Hey, Deutschman.
Yes, sir.
We were talking, let's see, we're talking yesterday. I'm not sure if you were in the room or not after the show about throwing you on the hog and having you head over to the closest rider strike picket line.
As a matter of fact, I was.
Which should be very close to where we are.
The reason there was a rim shot is because I'm usually not. In the words, after the show and in the room, don't go together with Bonadici.
But
we're on a 7-second delay. I hear myself say goodbye in the car.
which is a motorcycle. Oh, you drove today, though.
Yeah, I did drive. I've got that Subaru that they're giving away on eBay. They're auctioning off.
I saw that
thing. I have to return it today, so I had to drive.
Oh, good. So it'd be a good day to get a ticket. I'm thinking maybe we should send you over. Somebody, Mike Lynch, our writer, had an idea, which is for some reason we have 100 cases of Girl Scout cookies that I think I paid for but never did anything with. Leno was handing out donuts to his riders. Perhaps you hand out Girl Scout cookies to some of the riders that are picketing out front of, I don't know where.
Hollywood Center Studios, I think there are picketers.
Yep, CBS has them. There's probably three or four places within 3 or 4 miles where they're doing it. Let's pick one. Let's send you there, and let's talk to those peeps, too, because I'm curious what the actual riders and the guys on the line think. I want to know, A, I know they'll have written on some show in the past that'll make us all laugh, like
yes.
Small Wonder.
Right.
Or, what the hell was that show with Ann Gillian where they're all waitresses working at that restaurant
that
that's on
the
top
show.
Of that building. I know the beep.
Oh, the top the of the
top
building.
Of the,
what was
making
that?
It to the top, barely working at the top. Oh, damn. I'm going to try to figure that one out. Okay. Anyway, let's do that because I'd like to get to the bottom of this, and I feel like you could be instrumental in that. We'll take a quick break. We'll continue that quest next.
Let's check Adam's voicemail on the Adam Carolla Show.
Sick of hearing how much money you make. Sick of it. I work hard for my money. Sick of it.
Call 866-901-ADAM. Now back to Adam Carolla, Danny Bonaduce, and Teresa Strasser on the Adam Carolla Show.
He's talking to Bonaduce, isn't he?
Hard to tell. Maybe he's talking to me. I'm always bragging about my riches. Sitting right now on a pile of money just so my butt doesn't get sore.
Let me give you guys the definition of annoying. T lost $20 on Sunday on the Pats game. I lost $1,100 on the Pats game. T has said to me no less than 24 times in the last 24 hours, damn, I'm missing that 20. Damn, I got burned on that 20.
I hate to lose.
You know,
the thing is we're 9-0. And
but, you know,
I should be more sensitive. You lost a lot more.
Yeah, you have a kid. I have a kid that's clinging to life in a burn unit.
Mine's got a splinter.
Yours has a splinter, and you can't stop bellyaching about it.
This poor kid. It's right under his nail. Really hurting him. Did you say your kid's in a coma? That's too bad.
We crashed our minivan into a fuel depot. You understand? My kid, it's faster to say what percentage my kid's body isn't burned.
Splinter's uncomfortable.
Yes. You see what you're doing to me?
He's afraid of tweezers.
I lost $1,100.
I really shouldn't complain because you took me and Batman out for dinner.
That's right.
Nice. We had a good time.
I mean, yes.
And my favorite part was, and this is, everyone should do this. I wasn't ashamed. Usually I'm ashamed to ask for my food to be wrapped up to go because, you know, I have shame and I feel like it makes me seem
ashamed. You have food-based shame.
Food-based and also just growing up poor, I feel like it makes you look poor that you take it. So I never do it. But because we'd already discussed it, I was like, I'm comfortable enough around the Corollas. I'm going to take my leftovers.
Right.
And at the end, we all had our leftovers and Adam goes, I get everyone's leftovers.
Well, look, that's my policy.
It's a good policy.
If I'm going to pay for the meal, then I bought your meal. And now eat what you can while you're at the table. But if it's going home.
You took my pasta.
You know where those went, don't you?
No.
Molly's hungry.
No, as a matter of fact, T.
Wait. Hold on, I know where they went.
No. No, worse, much worse.
What's worse?
Well, let me explain something. First off, Danny is hopped in the Bonaduce mobile, and he's got his Girl Scout cookies, and he's heading over for some free publicity over to, I don't know, Fairfax and whatever to give some riders some cookies. So he's en route. T and Batman and my old lady, we all went out for dinner on Friday night. Just, I don't know. I think it was one of those wives things. We haven't done it before, and we decided it'd be a nice idea to get to know Batman. and we took them to my restaurant. But the thing about my restaurant is it kind of sucks because I pay 19 out of 20 times I eat there. I just pay full price. That's right. The way it works. But when you take somebody to your restaurant,
you have to pay.
You have to pay, and they assume, oh, it's your restaurant.
Well, Batman was very concerned on the way over, and he's like, what do I do? I mean, no. I have to offer to pay.
Yeah, if you take someone to your restaurant, and it's not my restaurant, I own 20% of it, but I have to pay 100% of the time anyone goes to my restaurant, and you don't get full credit because people think you get some sort of deal at your restaurant. I do not. I'm a horrible businessman. But I jokingly said, look, if I'm paying, then whatever you're taking, I'm taking. Because I bought that food.
I gave it right to you.
And I was kidding about it. Maybe I had too many glasses of wine, but I sort of forgot what happened. And I think my wife did, too. And as a matter of fact, I left the stuff in the car overnight. And the next morning, I went out to get something out of my car, and I saw a bunch of stuff in the passenger side floor. And I said, oh, all right, what is this? Oh, that's the food. So I took it in, and I threw it in the refrigerator. Last night, I said, what are we eating? And, of course, my wife doesn't cook. So I said, what are we eating? And my wife said, well, how about you have the leftover of whatever you ate, whatever the night? And I said, well, how about I eat what you ate? Because I want your pork chop. And she said, I ate that last night. I already ate that Sunday night. And I said, oh, all right. So I started looking through the refrigerator to see what was in the container, and I found a pork chop. And I said, Lynette, you said you ate your pork chop last night. I just found a pork chop. And she said, oh, that's my pork chop. And I said, yeah. And she said, oh, but I ate a pork chop last night. And I said, well, this is your pork chop. And she went, oh, I ate Batman's pork chop. And I was like, yeah. And she was like, yeah. And I was like tugging on the bone and biting on it and I was like, you know, it's funny. I feel like I could finish someone's steak, but a pork chop is more personal because it's got the bone.
No, he's very cleanly. Although the next day he was wistful. He said, that was the best pork chop I ever had. That was such a good pork chop.
Well, Lynette had that look when she realized she'd been gnawing on Batman's pork chop.
Cootie look.
The cootie look. So I said, well, never mind. I'll eat yours. And then
I hope she liked Batman.
I said, why did we have Batman's pork chop in our refrigerator? And she said, well, you told him if you're paying for it. And I was screwing around. I wasn't serious. Well, somehow it all went home with us. But psychologically, something I brought up before, but it's very interesting. She said there was almost nothing left on the pork chop. And just think about this, people, in terms of your own perspective. When you're full, when your belly's full, whatever's left on that plate seems like a mound of food. It's just a pile of food. You couldn't possibly finish it. You're going to take it home and eat it tomorrow. When your belly's empty and you're starving the next night and you open it up, it's like, oh, there's nothing here. It's the exact same amount of food. One is looked at through the lens of someone with a full belly, right, and the other's looked at through the lens of somebody with an empty belly, and it's a totally different amount. The douche man has now returned to the studios looking for his car keys.
Well, they're supposed to be in the car where I leave them.
Yeah, what's up?
Yeah.
And by the way,
yes.
Tell Danny to move on.
There's a lot of good Samaritans out there I found in my life, not only good Samaritans you don't know, but people you do know at home, where you leave your keys on your seat or you leave your keys in the ignition, as I'll often do in my driveway and stuff like that. And then I'll go out to get my car, and then I'll search everywhere for them, and then I'll look under the seat, and then I'll look under the car, and then I'll look under the sofa, and I'll look everywhere. And about an hour later, someone will come up to me and go, oh, are you looking for your, and I'll go, yeah. And they'll go, oh, they were sitting on your, yeah. And I'll go, yeah. And I'll go, where are they? And they'll go,
security.
I put them in a mason jar and buried them in the backyard. I didn't want anything to happen to them. And I'm like, thanks, Dick. Thank you for your help.
I've been here
next
all day.
Next time you remove something from the last place I left it, could you please give me a heads up, or how about you just keep walking?
You want to take my car?
No, I'm guessing my keys are in my car and further back under the seat than my little stubby arms reached the first time. I'll be right back.
All right, T.
Yeah.
The news, what's coming up in it, baby girl?
Well, we're going to hear from some of the famous people who were on the picket line yesterday, from Jack Black to Tina Fey.
Who's Jack? All right. Where's Jack Black?
He's in movies.
So?
Who? The feature writers are picketing. He's supporting his brothers and sisters in the Writers Guild.
I don't know. I'll talk about it when I get back. Am I bad?
That's how I roll.
Am I bad person for thinking other people are bad people when they do the right thing?
It's complicated.
Okay. We'll take a quick break. Jeez. So she donates $10 billion to make a hospital in Africa, but then she puts a big fat name right on the front of it.
Oh, we're talking about her, too.
I would never stoop that low. We'll take a quick break. Be back with the news next.
On Craigslist. Ace will get to the bottom of it. We'll have a little chat with prisoner David.
An inmate at a California correctional facility.
Doing 25 to life in the California state penal system. All that plus the news with Teresa Strasser and random non sequiturs from Danny Bonaducci.
I love my MySpace.
866-901-ADAM. Live coast to coast. This is the Adam Carolla Show.
The douche man is on his way to CBS or wherever the hell he's going with
a big bitch.
Couple boxes of Girl Scout cookies to talk to some guys working the picket lines. So we'll check in with him in a moment. Quickly, T.
Yeah.
We went out to dinner on Friday. I paid, thus I took home Teresa and her man's doggy bag. That's my policy. If I'm paying, I will pay and you can eat as much as you like at the table. But you don't take, and by the way, you know, I'll tell you why I had to enact this policy.
Why?
What's to stop you from loading up on pizzas to go, salads to go? You know what I mean? I don't want you good going, point. Well, I'll have a Cobb salad and 22 margarita pizzas. Just put those in my car. Ace man's paying. You know what I mean? Next thing you know, you're selling them out of a van.
You can't do that.
Slippery slope.
Yeah.
So I have a policy, as difficult as it is, and I trust you, but you understand policies are policies. They're not meant to be broken.
Right.
If you go out to eat with me and I pay, I don't care if it's with the Pope and his life partner, I will take that food home. You understand? You wrap it, I take it. That's the way it works when I pay.
You know what else I thought was nice was you ordered a couple desserts. And, you know, sometimes people are shy if they don't know you. And you insisted that Batman eat the dessert. You looked at him
and shoved it in his face.
You will eat it.
And he did. He moved his, he pulled his cowl up over his head and he ate it. Now, my other policy.
Yeah.
Just quickly. You need to know about me.
Okay.
If I pay, I take. That's
right.
Number one.
Okay.
Number two, I've done this one before, too. I used to take the writers over at Kimmel during our lunch break over to the coffee leaf and coffee bean and tea leaf.
Love it there.
Up down the street. And I would buy everybody a latte, whatever.
That adds up.
Yeah, it was about five guys. And we go there and I'd spend 10, 20 bucks or whatever it was. It was my pleasure. No problemo. Every once in a while, one of the writers who also went there very frequently, when the barista said, do you have a card to stamp?
Right.
I'd say, no, I don't have a card, in which case one of the writers would pull his card out and say, well, go ahead and stamp my card. I'd say, no. Put that card back in your wallet. He'd say, why not? I'd say, I'm paying. He'd say, yes, but they offered to stamp a card and they'll stamp mine. I'd say, no, can do. Put it back in your wallet. Look, I didn't throw my money around not to throw it in people's face.
Yeah, you might as well enjoy it.
The reason I make money is to lord it over people.
Right.
If I let you take home your pork chop or this guy stamp his frequent flyer card, then I wouldn't be lording it over people, would I?
No, and that's not fun.
All right, but listen, you'll take the free meal any day.
I enjoyed it.
And the free macchiato or whatever the hell they're ordering over there. Let's see. Tom is in Burbank, says the picket line is good for...
I don't know what that word is, but he claims to be a writer for Leno.
All right. Let's talk to Tom. Tom?
Nice to talk to you.
Tom,
How are you doing there?
Good. Are you a writer for Leno?
We're on the picket lines out here, and we're looking at the bright side just like Adam does every day.
Oh.
Jay's handing out donuts. It's a step up from the chiclets he usually gives us.
Mm-hmm. Hold on. Is that a joke? Yes, and it wasn't funny.
Are you still on strike?
It wasn't funny, which makes me think he may be a writer.
Yeah.
For Leno.
Let's see. If he tries to convince us it's funny, we'll know he's a television writer.
I think that word is Teddy's attempt at yarmulke.
Yarmulke. I see.
Ah, got it.
Hey, Tom.
Yeah.
How long have you been a writer for Leno?
At least 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, this is a great time for us because it gives us extra time to count Jay's money.
Yes.
Ooh, another not funny joke. This is good stuff.
Now, the picket line is great because we're all getting to try on each other's yarmulkes.
Oh, now he's
anti-Semitic and unfunny.
Yeah, no, he's no writer.
Tom,
he's just screwing with us.
Who screams these calls?
How do we know that you work for Leno?
Well, we're also going to have a lot of time to figure out what sex Jay's wife is.
What sex Jay's wife?
That wasn't bad. She's kind of butch.
All right, T, where were we?
The news.
Ah, the news.
Teresa Strasser with tomorrow's news. Today.
It's the first writer's strike since 1988 when the walkout lasted 22 weeks and cost the industry more than $500 million. Of course, the first casualties were the late-night talk shows such as Leno, Letterman. Now, a lot of celebrities showed up on the picket lines yesterday. And so did Pat O'Brien from The Insider to get the scoop, hard-hitting news pieces on celebrity picketers.
I was loaded out of my mind.
He spoke to, in this clip, Susan Sarandon, Jack Black, and Vince Vaughn.
I think it's an important strike.
Can't make movies until the strike is lifted, really.
Hopefully they can come to a conclusion that works for both sides.
I saw The Pick of Destiny. That movie was not written.
It was improvised. Pie.
Barely.
Why did you see The Pick of Destiny?
I was on cable.
Jeez.
I like bad better than good. Him and
That's
Kyle,
how I roll.
Him and Kyle Gass got stoned out of their ass and yelled, start filming this.
This is good stuff.
There's no writer near that movie. I guarantee that.
Patrick Dempsey from Grey's Anatomy was also out on the line. Here's what he had to say to The Insider.
We're not that far ahead with scripts. We have one script. I think we have 11 episodes in the can. So we're not prepared for it, really.
Mm.
Tina Fey.
Mm-hmm.
How many shows do you have in the can right now?
Well, our show, we have, you know, four or five more in the can. We'll have new shows on until Christmas. I feel like most shows, that's about the same.
Mm-hmm. So, again, the late night guys are day to day, so they're not on. And then the other guys have these shows banked in advance, but they're going to run out of them quickly. Hold on, Danny is on the scene. Danny?
Adam, Teresa, I am hot on the scene at CBS Studios on Fairfax between 3rd and Beverly. And the bad news is the writer's strike seems to be striking the picket lines. There are no writers.
There are no writers.
No writers of any kind.
They're not early risers. Most folks I know who got into writing because they weren't into waking up. So perhaps they'll show up, but until then, you have your Girl Scout cookies?
Well, yeah, that is the good news. I'm chain smoking and eating cookies. I'm pretty happy about that. You want me to just pull in and ask the guard where the hell the writers are?
Yeah, see if you can ascertain that.
I drove by them at Hollywood Center Studios. I think it was on Sunset, and I have some advice if you're single and female. There's nothing but dudes out there. Bake some cookies and bring them down there.
Weird guys with low self-esteem.
They're cute to me.
Yes.
I just want to make sure. Hello, sir. I am a writer from the Writers Guild of America. I'm here to join the picket line, and I cannot find it. Do you know where the picket line is today?
It'll be here.
It will be here, but it's not here now. Do you know when they plan to picket? Do you know Wilson picket? About 9. About 9, I can expect a picket line.
Do you like to pick
about
a destiny?
About 9.
I'm going to go have a latte, and I'll talk to you again. Thank you for your help, sir. Thank you. I'll make a U-turn right there.
All right, so...
I wasn't a writer. Just not a smile out of that huge ramp face.
So the writers aren't going to be there for an hour and 45 minutes.
I heard a person I believe to be a writer for the Jay Leno show in Burbank.
Mm-hmm.
It's not terribly far, and I'm not terribly humorous. Would you like me to drive over to Burbank?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, the guy who just called?
I don't know. You mean, so you go out. Well, by the time you get there, maybe there'll be something going on. All right, Danny.
There's also Raleigh Studios on Santa Monica Boulevard, although I think they only do reality shows in the likes there.
How about Paramount? How about Paramount Studios over there on Melrose?
Paramount Studios on Melrose coming up, sir.
All right, do that and check back with us, Danny. And don't bogart all those cookies.
Good. I'm so full and my lungs hurt from smoking. This is an excellent radio show.
All right, Danny, good times.
Goodbye.
All right. Danny's out on a quest to find some writers and give them some cookies. T, sorry, where were we?
Well, I really do believe this. If you're single and you're not working and you want to support the strike and you want to meet a guy, I drove by there. There was like 50, 60 guys who normally have jobs. That's a plus. Maybe not right now.
Right.
And they were cute. And they were picketing, and there was like one girl.
Yeah.
I like nerds.
Right.
If I was single, I would bake myself some cookies and go down there.
Good times.
Now.
You're that nerd.
Some people think reality shows are strike-proof.
Mm-hmm.
That is not the case. Dancing with the Stars, one of the most successful reality shows on television today, an ABC show, actually is under a Writers Guild of America contract. So what would happen without writers? Could Tom Bergeron and Samantha Harris, the hosts of Dancing with the Stars?
I saw Samantha Harris on The View without a teleprompter last week, and she just repeated the N-word over and over over again.
Really? Even with Whoopi there? And
they
Sherry
asked her,
Shepherd?
What's the name of your newborn? She said the N-word.
That's oof.
They asked her where she hailed from. She said the N-word.
What projects were next?
She put the word Berg at the end of
N-word Berg. That's where she's from.
And then they asked her what high school she went to, and she said N-word high. And yeah. She just completely folded without that teleprompter. So this could be tough.
I hope this is okay. Here are Tom Bergeron, Samantha Harris, without their guild writers to write for them.
So I'm Tom Bergeron.
And I'm Samantha Harris.
N-word. Oh.
Of the competition tonight for the first time. Our stars will dance two brand new individual routines.
And that is a lot of dancing to do, so let's bring out our stars.
Sounded okay.
Yeah. The bad news is if you write for that show, you don't have to come back.
Yeah. You know what? Why don't you stay gone? Turns out we don't
need
you.
The good news is you're
yeah.
fired.
Yeah. And, you know, there's also many producers who could have just typed a few words into the teleprompter
mm-hmm.
for them.
Couple of beats, sure. It
yeah.
doesn't look. Here's the thing about the wraparound stuff. It doesn't need to be funny, and if it doesn't need to be funny, then it's just like giving directions.
It's just business.
Yeah, who's coming up next, and what dance are they doing?
Now, as you may have heard, Oprah Winfrey has had some trouble with her Academy for Girls in South Africa.
Mm-hmm.
Yesterday, she held a press conference saying she was, quote, cleaning house at the Leadership Academy for Girls. That includes removing all the dormitory matrons and not renewing the headmistress's contract. Police say dorm matron Tiny Makopo, who is now also being identified as Virginia Makopo, is facing 13 charges, including assault, indecent assault, and soliciting underage girls to perform indecent acts. Meanwhile, the headmistress and the other dorm matrons are getting sacked because there was apparently a widespread system in place to hide the fact that there were problems from Lady Oprah. Here's a clip from Oprah's press conference where she says that the news of abuse at her Leadership Academy is devastating.
What I know is that no one, not the accused, nor any persons, can destroy the dream that I have held and the dream that each girl continues to hold for herself at this school. And I am prepared to do whatever is necessary to make sure that the Oprah Winfrey Leadership Academy for Girls becomes the safe, the nurturing and enriched setting that I had envisioned.
That'd be a good name for your VT.
What?
Oprah.
Leadership Academy?
For girls, yeah. Sounds redundant, but it's strong.
It would describe a certain train ride.
Yeah, here's the tough part. Like, you want to do what you can do for people. On the other hand, there's a reason why they're not can-doing for themselves, and then you just go and dump off some money there, and they just take the money, and they screw it up, and you're caught between a rock and a hard place. It's sort of like giving a bum money. On one hand, you feel bad. On the other hand, the person's where they are for a reason, and if you give him a buck, he's just going to get a buck more worth of crack or Sterno. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Now, this isn't that case. But how much money have we dumped into Africa over the last 40 years? How much money?
Quite a bit.
How much money have we dumped into Africa? Everyone. And I don't care how liberal you are, because your plan is to dump more money into Africa. But how many billions of dollars have we dumped into that area, that region of the world, over the last 40 years? How's Africa doing? Does that mean we're not dumping enough money? And then what about all those places that are doing great that we don't dump any money into? Why are they doing well?
Switzerland, say, seems to be fine.
They seem to be fine. There's many places that are doing fine. I'm just saying, God bless Oprah, but the answer isn't always dump more money into a place that doesn't know how to handle money. If you had a wayward brother who dabbled in drugs and hookers and was constantly in and out of trouble and in jail, would the plan be dump more money on that guy?
Well, I think Oprah's plan was to give the young girls an education, the women being central to family life there. She really had her heart in the right place, and Oprah has done a lot to speak out against child abuse, and here it is at her own school.
She's working the right, I mean, she has the right idea, but I'm just saying, let's just start dumping birth control, and then 20 years from now, we can start dumping money.
I'm all for birth control.
Thank you.
Heather Mills did not use birth control. Mm-hmm. That's how she got her little baby Beatrice with Paul McCartney. You may remember last week she had herself a little bit of a meltdown on a British talk show. Sounded a little something like this.
I've had worse press than a paedophile or a murderer, and I've done nothing but charity for 20 years.
Sounds like a deleted scene from Mrs. Doubtfire. Doesn't it? You children are all little pedophiles. Would you like some pita bread? What? Pita bread? Pedophile? You mean I've had this flip-flopped my entire life?
It was odd because if you saw the clip, she sounds like she's crying, but there's no water coming out of her eyes.
I feel like a lamb at a peeing zoo. What? You must be asking me.
Yeah, I can't figure her out. Well, it's officially game on, because there was a time, and I know I keep going back to this, but there was a time when you just couldn't make fun of a lady.
Yeah.
Now you can make fun of a lady and make some jokes about her fake leg.
Oh, yeah.
Tons of jokes about her fake leg.
It's almost impossible not to.
I'm just saying it is game on. There used to be a time when we would go after guys, but ladies we kind of left alone. Then there was a time when we'd go after ladies, but not one if she was in a wheelchair.
Right.
Now it's, hey, bitch, I got a whole boatload of fake jokes, fake leg jokes to make on your behalf. Yes.
Okay, she went on the Today Show to do a little damage control after she cried. And she talked about her breakup with Paul McCartney and said, all of this fallout is really because of him.
All I can say is when we first split, I said to Paul, I'm going to be crucified. I'm going to have a modern day stoning. You know why we split. You know the truth. They don't need to know the details, but you need to stand up and say, I am responsible for the breakdown of this marriage. You'll be a hero because people know it's always two parties. But in this case, it's very heavily one-sided. I said, if you say that, I'll walk away with nothing and we'll do a very gentle and quick divorce. And he promised he'd do that. I have evidence of that. And he did nothing.
Well, I'll walk away with nothing. But then the following Monday, I'm going to back the Brinks truck up to your castle and you can fill it with 20s.
I'm so confused because I know everybody hates Heather Mills. And I'm not sure exactly why. It seems like she married somebody. He was in love with her. He didn't want a prenup. They broke up. It happens.
I'm torn as well. One is, what did she do? Who cares? She's got a fake leg.
Yeah,
leave her alone.
She works to help landmine victims.
Right. The other one is, when everybody hates somebody, I believe them.
Interesting you should say that, because Barbara Walters yesterday on The View talked about having met Heather Mills on several occasions. Now, do you trust Barbara Walters' opinion on somebody like Heather Mills? Here's what she has to say, and let's see if this sheds any light. She talks about meeting Heather Mills on two occasions, one before Paul and one after.
I did two interviews with Heather Mills. I barely know Paul McCartney, so I have, this is... the first interview, I was very touched by her. She had been in an accident. She'd lost a leg. She talked about how she, in the hospital, sold her story to all the magazines, made money, bought artificial limbs for people in Yugoslavia. I was quite touched. Second interview, she had now met Paul McCartney, and I remember saying to him, because he showed up to pick her up, and I'd said to someone, this is a tough woman. And then he said, I heard you say that Heather was a tough woman. I thought, and he said, well, I like tough women. I said, more power to you, or something like that.
And then Heather Mills started to behave like a diva, according to Barbara Walters.
She was extremely difficult. One of our young producers gave her, she wanted a glass of water. She gave her a glass of water. She said, this glass of water is not room temperature. She was so impossible to our producers, and that we, you know, you pick on me, don't pick on the, you know, on the other people. That all we thought was, this is not a very nice woman. This picture of her as being poor little me is something that we did not feel when we did this interview.
Or experience.
Can I leave it at that?
Yeah, I'm starting to believe everybody.
Yeah.
And I don't know what the divorce laws are in England.
I don't either.
Sounds like it's bad.
It certainly does, because the figures have been anywhere around 100, 120 million. Looks like Danny's on the phone.
Danny?
Yes?
What's up, brother?
Well, I've got more good news and more bad news.
All right.
The bad news is I have now done a complete circle around Paramount Studios and not a writer in sight.
Mm, yeah.
The good news is I have one-legged jokes.
Oh,
what
you
got?
Yes. Well, of course, she can't walk away with a ton of money. Her case is limping along, and she's just hopping mad, and she doesn't have a leg to stand on. Thank you. Now I will go and find you a goddamn writer.
Evidently, the writers are still on strike.
Yeah.
All right, Danny. Hey, Danny, you know, I don't think they're going to start picketing until 9 a.m.
Does anybody know a writer's friggin' address? I thought it was goddamn hot. I'm out here in a Subaru full of Girl Scout cookies, chain smoking, and the only thing that's open is liquor stores, and they're starting to look more appealing by the goddamn second, and
well,
I have nobody to talk to.
I would suggest that you head back. I think
Where?
You should. I think you should head back. Well, I'm trying to think. We're just doing this on the fly. We sent Danny out to go talk to some of the writers on the picket lines, and then realized writers don't get up very early in the morning. That's why they became writers, and they start at 9 a.m., and we should have thought that one out. I think Danny should come back to the studio, possibly hang out for an hour. If he can get back to the studio, hang out for an hour or so, and then maybe go back, or we'll just try it tomorrow.
I thought everybody was leaving with recognition. I'm not allowed to make a left turn there.
All right. Hey, Danny, come back to the studio.
All right.
And we'll pick it up from there. Hopefully you can get here in time for Who the F Sells This S. T.
I'm Teresa Strasser.
No, that's
no?
it?
I'm trying to help us stay on time.
Screw time.
All right, I got another story.
Mm.
Heather Mills may be down a limb.
Mm-hmm.
This little girl in India has some extra limbs. I don't know if you've seen her on the news. She's a toddler. She was born with 8 limbs, 4 arms and 4 legs.
Wow.
The reason, she was born with a conjoined twin, except the twin only had a spine, legs, and arms, no head, no organs. The twin is fused upside down, pelvic bone to pelvic bone, with the little girl. So she has 4 legs and 2 arms below the waist. In India, where the majority of people are Hindu, many of them believe that she is the reincarnation of the Hindu god Vishnu.
Sure.
Vishnu is one of the supreme beings for Hindus and has...
Right. And you give birth to a goddess.
Huh.
The genius is over there.
Well, she cannot walk or crawl.
But she can shoot webs from her wrists.
I'm not sure if she can shoot webs with her wrists, but she probably won't live past her early teens because all of these extra limbs are putting her at risk, but it's going to...
Well, they'll figure out. Well, here's what they'll do. Let me explain how this works.
Okay.
Never better time to be a conjoined whatever than now.
Oh, so true.
Never better time.
Yeah.
If this had happened a few years back, you just drag this thing around from one circus sideshow to the next.
Right.
And then you died.
If you're lucky, you know, you marry the giant or somebody in the circus.
Right.
That's your life.
Yeah. Or the bearded lady. And by the way, if she's bearded on her chin, imagine what she's looking like downstairs. No one's ever done that bearded math.
No, I wish you hadn't.
Chick has a little bleached mustache. It's a disaster down there. Imagine a chick with a full-blown Grizzly Adams beard.
Good name for Teasby. Bearded lady.
Bearded lady. Sounds like the worst cocktail ever. I'll have sex on the beach and bearded lady.
What's this through my teeth?
That's a cutty shark and a handful of pubes.
Yeah, that's how we garnish it. It's delightful. Now this girl.
Wait a second. Yeah. Wait a second. All right. Here's what. Now, the Siamese twins, the original yin and yang guy or whatever they were.
They lived a happy life.
Yes, they lived a happy life. The thing that's crazy about these guys is one had like 11 kids and the other had 9 kids. The original Siamese twins. Yeah. These guys married, not conjoined twins, just married a couple ladies, and then proceeded to crap out about 10 kids each, which meant they had a lot of sex.
Yeah.
They were very passionate about their passion. Except for they weren't humping conjoined twins. They were just humping regular chick.
I am never going to get tired of this.
Now, I couldn't figure out if they put a sheet between the two of them or how that worked. And those ladies who married the original guys should get the Congressional Medal of Honor. Because when you have sex, you're not just having sex with this guy. You're having sex with the brother who's not having sex with you. It's a 2.5 way.
I just threw up in my mouth.
I know.
He's not pleasuring you while the other guy's on top of you. He's just there.
I also gave this a lot of thought. Did they agree that one of them would maybe fall asleep or feign sleep?
I would have to get some of those Bose noise canceling headphones.
I didn't have those.
They didn't?
I'm pretty sure
Bose was around.
Well, I'll tell you
what. I would then put the theme to Bonanza on 11.
Just to try and not hear.
Right. And then I would just hang some Duvetine between the two of us.
What's that?
That's Black Curtain. Come on. It's from the theater, baby.
Well, that would give you a little privacy.
Right.
Well, the movie Stuck on You did nothing to enlighten me about how this works.
Well, how it's going to work is she is going to get on a jet plane and she will fly here to the United States and a team of our surgeons will remove whatever stuck to her back from her because that's the way it works. We are the capital of doing pro bono removals on conjoined twins. Remember, we're the devil. Remember, the world hates us. Remember, we're the evil, blue-eyed Americans. But when your kids are crapped out and they're stuck together into one ball, where do you send them?
Well, listen to this about the surgery. They will be able to remove her twins' arms and legs and save her life. 30 surgeons are working on scheduling a 40-hour operation to remove the limbs, and they're pretty sure it's going to be a success. 40 hours and 30 surgeons. The lead surgeon is Dr. Sharon Patil. Sounds like an Indian name, so I'm not sure where exactly the surgery is going to take place.
Sharon?
Maybe it's S-H-A-R-A-N. Sharon?
Ah, maybe she is Indian.
Sharon Patil?
Mm-hmm.
Could be a man.
No doubt educated in America.
I know, Sharon is a man, and he says, Lakshmi, that's the girl, has one complete body with a near set of organs. The operation itself is not the most complex in the world. Confident.
Yeah. I'm going to buy those extra limbs on eBay come Friday, too.
Give them to Heather Mills.
Good times, baby girl.
I'm Teresa Strasser, and that really is the news.
Tomorrow's news. Today, Teresa Strasser. You, CNN.
By the way, imagine the chick giving birth to essentially a Japanese throwing star.
How does that come out of you?
Not easily. You know, kid, you know, with his arm by his sides, you know, torpedo shaped and all lubed up. That's a hard press right there.
Right.
But imagine giving birth to a spike strip.
I can't imagine. I hadn't thought about that.
Starfish coming out of you. All right, we'll take ourselves a break. Danny's heading back to studio. We will find ourselves some riders if it's the last thing we do. When we come back,
we should be able to go into any Starbucks in this town and find some riders.
Decent premise, but again, I never thought about it. But I mean, riders traditionally get up super late, and 9 a.m. is an early call for most riders. I don't think those guys are at the Starbucks at 7:30.
I don't either.
All right. We'll take ourselves a quick break. When we come back, who the F sells this S? Do we have, Brian, you're giving me a look like you got something.
No, sorry, go
Just count. All right. For instance, we'll talk to a chap who's selling adult novelty DVDs for $5. Selling entire collection for crackhead prices. $5. Oh. Some never opened. Girl on girl, Asian, lesbo, etc. We'll take ourselves a quick break. Be back with a spirited round. Ah, oh, here's the chap I want to talk to. 8-track tapes, $1.
What?
100 tapes.
Hell yeah.
All in excellent condition.
Yeah, hello?
Must go. We'll talk to that. Oh, someone's selling a Hawaiian Breeze box fan for $5. We'll talk to that high roller. Who the F sells this S next?
Back to the Adam Carolla Show with Adam Carolla, Danny Bonaducci, and Teresa Strasser. Ever notice some of the weird stuff people are trying to sell on Craigslist?
Knife block. Perfect condition, but no knives. $1.
Sold. Now back to the Adam Carolla Show.
Oh, do we have some gems here? We're going to start with the Hawaiian Breeze box fan. Eh, good name for TSV. I'm selling this fully functional box fan because I'm moving and don't want to take it with me. We can do the don't want to take it with you math when you say you're selling something and you're moving.
But when people sell something, they always need to explain why they're selling it. Otherwise, it would seem to have no value. I'd keep this Hawaiian box fan if I weren't moving.
Yes, it's my lucky Hawaiian box fan. Except for I'm moving and I'm forced to sell it.
Almost, I wish I could keep it.
Almost every single car I see for sale when I look at sports cars, they always blame the wife.
Oh, I wish I could keep this car, but...
Right. They never say, I drove it into a swamp when I was high.
Right.
And now it's got to move because it smells like cat ass.
Right.
They go, we just had twins. Wife got a minivan.
Got to sell the sports car. It doesn't handle well.
You know, I never felt more guilty, actually, when I went to go look at a sports car to buy. And Lynette was about 8 months pregnant with twins. And I went to go look at the guy's sports car. And sure, as these guys always are, he goes, yeah, we have a 2-month-old. And now I got to sell the car. And I'm like, I'm going to have twins. How much? I'm like the world's worst dad. I guess I could duct tape the kids to the hood, right?
Well, look. Think of it this way. You are modeling for your kids how to squeeze the joy out of life and do what you love doing.
That's
that makes
right.
you a good dad.
That's right. By squeezing them into the boot of a sports car. So he doesn't want to take it with him, the Hawaiian box van.
Right. Now, perfectly good reason to
sell. Here's the part I like. It's $5 for the Hawaiian box van. It's a little dirty and noisy. I don't like TSV, but runs fine and gets the job done.
Again, like my V.
Yeah, here's the whole thing about the fans. For some reason, fan blades get filthy, and I don't know what it is. Maybe it's a static charge. It's weird because you'd think the last thing in the world to get dusty would be something that was spinning at 900 RPMs, but nope. It attracts it. And not only does it attract dust, but everything in that person's world has passed through the blades of that fan many times over. Cat dander.
Their skin particles.
Ass clouds. Everything in that house, apartment, has passed through that. So when you turn it on,
halfway house.
You're not getting a breeze from Hawaii.
No.
You're getting a breeze from Hawaiian Gardens. Oh, wait, we have an intro?
Let's find out who the f*** sells this shit.
Hey, Don.
Hey, Adam, how we going?
You're selling a box fan?
Yes, I am.
Now, where are you moving to?
I'm moving to New York.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you won't need a fan there.
That's true. And, you know, another good reason to get rid of it.
Hey, let me just query this. New York's a very expensive place to live.
That's true.
You need $5 for a fan that is dirty and broken down that most folks would just toss.
Well, actually, I'm moving to upstate New York, so that $5 is going to go a long way.
Oh, so you'd be the richest guy in Ithaca?
Is that what
I actually went to Ithaca College, Adam.
Oh.
So, yes, I will.
Wow.
Hmm.
Wow.
What are the odds?
How many times have I mentioned Ithaca on this show?
First time.
All right, Don, so you're moving back to upstate New York.
What town?
Albany, New York.
Mm-hmm.
Capital.
And you don't need your fan. And what are you going to do over there?
I'm going to work, actually, there's some film industry in Albany, so I'm going to work there.
Sure. You got to move out of L.A. so you can get in the film industry.
Well, maybe there aren't striking writers there. We'll see.
And
Don, what do you do in the film industry?
I'm a aspiring writer.
Mm. And you're going to that hotbed of writing, Albany.
Have you written anything that we've heard of?
I've written things, you know, with words that you have heard before, but never, you know, published or anything.
Mm-hmm. How old are you?
I'm 24.
Now, have you had any hits on your broken down box van?
Hits?
Yeah, I mean, you went on Craigslist with it.
I received one call, but it was from you guys to make fun of me.
How long has your listing been posted?
It was since Sunday. So, you know, I'm still optimistic. I'm not going to, you know, throw it away yet.
Are you selling anything else on Craigslist?
Dignity.
Yeah, I'm going to sell everything.
Put your dignity on there.
How much for that?
For what?
Evidently
I would take
nothing.
My dignity, but I'm moving.
Hey, Don. Hey, look, we've talked a lot of you crackpots on the phone over the last few months on this show. We had guys selling used golf balls for 50 cents. We have guys selling, you know, glass jars shaped like elephants for a nickel. Nobody calls. Nobody wants it. And if they do call, they're clinically insane. There are places called Target and Home Depot and Costco where things are practically free now. Who wants to pay $5 for a contaminated box fan?
Well, I mean, honestly, I probably bought this box fan from Target, so I'm really just saving them the trip. I'm meeting them halfway.
But yours is filthy.
And a little noisy, but it does get the job done.
Don, I like you, and you sound cute.
Oh, shucks, thanks.
Are you? What do you look like?
Really good looking, very desirable.
Now I don't like
it. Unless you weren't a liar.
Who do you look like?
I've had people say I look like an attractive John Mayer, so.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Mm. Huh. Intrigued, T?
He's going to be the hit of Albany.
Are you dropping an egg? What's going on with you, T? You're all juiced up this morning.
What's going on
with you? We got
I'm
something going on?
I'm very happy. Very happy.
Something's going on.
No, I'm just happy.
I'm smelling a pheromone or something coming off of you. What's going on in you?
I told you, I want a mate in 08. Preparing.
Something's going on in you, sister.
I don't know.
Don't make me toss you up on the rack. I'll get to the bottom of this. Hey,
no,
Don?
I'm just happy.
Yes, sir.
You a single man?
No, actually, I'm engaged to be married.
Congratulations, Thank Don. You are you taking your lovely wife to be to Albany?
Yes, we are both from Albany originally, so we're going back home.
All right. And does she have anything she's selling? Any big ticket items like snow globes or one flip-flop?
We do have a badly damaged mini fridge, so keep your eye out. Maybe give her a call, you know, next week.
Don, you're so young to be getting married. 24?
You know, I'm an old-fashioned guy.
Yeah. They're gonna be registered on Craigslist. I'll get you a used golf ball from the black guy in Glendale.
I'm really hoping somebody buys me my fan so I can keep it after all.
All right. Well, go to Craigslist and look under look under Hawaiian Breeze box fan, $5. And again, Don, seriously, some guy calls you up on the phone. Now, keep in mind, I'm not making this up. His advertisement says it's a little dirty and noisy. The two things you want to stay away from with a fan is noisy and dirty. Like you're trying to take a nap. It's the middle of July. You got the window open.
One second. Having a nice Hawaiian breeze.
Yes. Now, Don.
Yes.
So some guy calls you up, and he's like...
Yeah. Now it places the lotion in the basket.
You're the owner of a box fan? You got a box fan? Where are you, man? How about I come by about 1:30 this morning? What are you doing? What are you doing after Carson Daly gets off the air? I'll come by there and I got half a jar of Miracle Whip. You want to trade? Where are you? Meet me in the park. Come alone. Bring the box fan. Put the box fan on the phone. Put it on.
This recorded call is from an inmate at a California correctional
facility. What are you wearing right now? Huh? Box fans or briefs? Hold on. Ah, shut up! I hate you! Seriously, I'll give you $4 for the box fan. You want to meet me at my place? I live in the desert. Go out to the bun boy. No, head to Vegas and get off on the ZZX exit. park your car, shut the lights, and just walk till you hit something sticky, okay? Frank the box fan. Bring some water-soluble lube to the box fan, and I'll bring the duct tape. Okay?
Because that is the guy who wants to buy the box fan on Craigslist, right?
Well, you know, honestly, I priced it at $5, because any less than that, and I'm afraid I'm going to get, you know, that kind of people interested.
I see.
So I figured go for the high-class people.
Don't talk, my friend. What's the fan wearing? What's it got on right now?
Don, is this freaking you out, or is it just me?
I keep wishing that it's over, but no.
Me too.
Is that box fan, is that a three-speed? Or is it just a toggle switch?
I'm very close to needing a rape shower.
Is it a three-prong plug? Or is it two-prong? Oh.
Okay, Don. You do realize nobody calling is a good thing?
I'm starting to believe it, yes.
Okay. I have a head rush from doing it. I want to talk to Gage. Gage has 8-track tapes he's selling for $1 a piece, although Ronnie from Inglewood has adult novelty DVDs. Wait a minute, Ronnie?
Yes.
You sound hot.
What's going on, Mr. Corolla?
What's going on, Ronnie?
Nothing much. You missed the men show. What the hell happened? Now we got that silver serum and crap. I mean,
you're not a fan of Sarah's show?
Come on, who is?
I've found my demographic, finally. Guys that live in Inglewood who sell adult novelty tapes for $1.
Ronnie,
hey,
you like
where
the
are the white women at?
Do you like the man show?
Yes, of course we love the man show. It was the only real show that was actually human life we can all relate to. We all like to drink. We all like to scratch our balls. I mean, what show on TV is like that now? I mean, nothing.
Thank you, Ronnie. Hey, Ronnie, the adult novelty DVDs for $5. What do you mean by novelty?
Well, I mean, I didn't want to just hop on there and be like, I got pornos. So I just said I wanted to classy it up a little bit.
Sure.
Call it adult novelty video, but it's really porno.
Oh, I see. All right. Because when I read adult novelty DVDs, I'm going to bring the kids over to Inglewood and we're going to buy those babies, but I didn't know they were porn.
How much for the lot?
I mean, I don't really sell them by the lot. I sell them individually.
Mm-hmm.
I see.
Mm-hmm. And what, well, this is going to be tough, but any titles you can mention on the radio?
Any titles I can mention? I got Anal Effers.
Okay. Good job.
Good job.
Good job.
Do you have anything from the Taboo series?
I have things from Taboo, Vivid, Jenna Jameson, Pirates. Whatever you can think of, I got it.
Mm-hmm.
How much for the Jenna Jameson?
I sell Lowe's brand new, $10. Never open.
$10. All right.
Yeah.
And now, is this your private collection, or are you just fronting and moving them from somebody else?
Oh, no. This is, I don't really have, like, that many pornos that I watch like that. I do have a couple, but all these I actually just bought. You know what I mean? Wholesale price or whatever. And
I see.
Now, you're not, yeah, so it's not like your old lady's moving in and you got to clear out the porn collection.
Oh, hell no. Why lie?
All right.
He's a middleman.
Hold on. Danny Bonaducci's on the phone. Danny?
I am just about to pull into the parking lot, but I did not want to miss out on the adult novelty items in case there's something I wish to purchase.
Hey, Ronnie from Inglewood, Danny Bonaducci is in his car. He has a wallet full of money with skulls on it and a chain. Perhaps he could head over to your place in Inglewood and buy your adult novelty porn?
Here's the thing, I do not carry gay videos on.
What's that?
Oh, he said he does not carry gay video.
That was a joke.
Who needs the Writers Guild members? We got Ronnie.
Just a small joke.
Ronnie from Inglewood.
You got any Heather Mills stuff?
Heather Mills? I can definitely double check.
Hey, Ronnie, I'll tell you what. I'll bring my video camera and you'll start carrying some gay video.
Okay? Yeah. Touche.
Gucci's back.
Hey, Ronnie.
Let's get busy. Yeah. What do you got, buddy? I got to buy out of his career. I got a pocket full of money and an erection. What do you got for me?
I got everything you can think of. Black, Asian, Latino. I even have midgets. Whatever you need, please, I have it all.
You have little people porn?
There's actually a big market for midget porn. Yes, it is.
I think that the non sequitur of the oxymoron of the big market on little people is very interesting.
Right.
But now, you have big people or little people? Yeah.
Well, hold on a second. Let me just see if I can get in between you two. Ronnie.
You make a nice movie.
Yes. Ronnie, are you going to be at home for, let's say, 20 minutes?
Yes, I will.
All right, so you don't have to get into the law firm or the air traffic controller's tower or anything like that?
The markets are already open back east.
I do have to be to work in an outlet. I'm a car salesman, so, I mean, it's kind of like, yeah.
Okay, so if Danny heads over to Inglewood, you'll be there in 20 minutes or so?
Yes, I will.
Danny?
Yep.
To the Danmobile.
Dude, I am telling you, I'm in this, and this is not a plug because I drive a Honda. I've got this Subaru that we're giving away for charity,
mm-hmm.
that we're auctioning for charity, but it has the most outrageous GPS. You give me this guy's address, I'll park in his goddamn living room. Now let's get some porn.
Now, Danny, please don't be late because Ronnie has to separate a conjoined Indian twin at 9:05.
Hold on. Yeah, he's got to scrub in just about 20 minutes. All right, hold on. I put both of them on hold because the connection was a little weak. Teddy, talk to Ronnie. Have Ronnie tell Danny where his shack is in Inglewood. Inglewood is to Crow Flies from where we are. It's probably about 9 miles from here, but there may be a little traffic. So, Danny, you head to Inglewood, get to Ronnie's. When Danny gets to Ronnie's, Danny should call us because I'd like to buy some of that porn, too. And I want some of those titles.
Can I ask you a stupid question? Is $10 a savings on porn?
I buy in bulk.
Okay.
So I don't. I go down to the pornery barn.
Yeah.
And I bring my own pallet jack and I'll go ahead and rent the steak bed truck.
Mm-hmm.
And me and my assistant will go in there, and so I buy by the metric, by tonnage. I don't buy by individual title.
Give me 2 tons of porn.
Yeah, so for me, because I buy in such great volume, and I have a distributor's license,
yeah.
I will just go ahead, you know, so it's not a fair question. But your normal porn in the DVD format could run, you know, $14-16.
So you're saving a little bit.
Not only that, but you're saving on taxes.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I got, anal effers.
You can't afford not to.
Right. All right. So, hold on. Let me punch Dan back up for a second. Danny?
Yeah.
All right. So, you'll get the directions from Donnie?
I don't need any directions at all, dude. I got the... Listen to this friggin' thing on this GPS. Not only can I get right to his house, mm-hmm. but if there's not any parking nearby, the friggin' thing pops out and I can walk to it with the GPS in my hand.
So you literally just punch discount porn into the GPS system.
And I'm going
what
right
about anal
place.
Effers? Will the GPS accept that?
I think it will. All right,
you know,
Danny.
What? I've been driving around in this car eating cookies. I could use a little anal effort myself. So if we could get that address and get me on my way, I'd be damn happy about it.
All right. So, Teddy, give the address to Danny.
Anal effers.
And, Danny, hang on. Teddy's going to give you that address. And we're going to get to the bottom of this. Pardon the pun. All right. And as I always say to the guys going out on anal porn runs, Godspeed.
Right.
Godspeed, my brother. All right. We'll take ourselves a break. Oh, quickly. Hold on. Hey, Gage?
Yes.
You're selling 8-track tapes?
Yes, I am. I don't have any porno, but I got some Barry Manilow Live that will knock your socks off.
Wow, what
and all on 8-track.
All on 8-track.
Nope. Anal effers.
Do you have that?
Have that on 8-track.
Well, Barry Manilow stars in that.
Yes, that on 6.5-track. Why are you selling your 8-track tape collection?
Well, if you really have to know, I bought my first house. I've got my first payment due. I can't make my first payment. I'm in jeopardy of the girls losing their Christian school, so everything must go.
Mm-hmm. How much money can you make selling 8-track cassettes for a dollar a piece?
Well, there's so much more than 8-tracks, but every little bit counts. John Denver's Greatest Hits.
Ooh.
Wow.
We've got Linda Ronstadt. Something from the Partridge Family.
What? Oh! An 8-track of that?
Mm-hmm. You know what I've said this many, many times about John Denver? The guy who sung this song was an alcoholic accused of smacking his old lady around and died flying an experimental aircraft on the deck over a body of water in Northern California. That is range as an individual goes. 1 minute you're singing about Rocky Mountain High and living off the land. The next minute you have some carbon fiber Delta Wing tri-propeller plane, push me, pull me, and you're loaded and you're flying on the deck of some body of water in the Bay Area. That's pretty hot. All right. Hey, Gage?
Yes, sir.
Jesus, where are you? You're out in Glendale?
I am in Glendale.
Hmm. But, Gage, how come you couldn't gauge what your first payment was going to be when you bought the house?
I did, but my wife had to have new carpet put in. So the carpet's coming in today.
Is that an emergency?
Gage, I have I have something that could solve your problem. It's called a job. You go there 5 days a week, you hang out for about 8 hours, and they hand you money, and then you take that and you give some of it to the bank so you can keep your house.
It took every dollar that I have from my job just to purchase this house.
Hmm. Okay. Now, wait a minute. Gage, hang on. Ronnie hung up.
Porn Ronnie?
Yes, imagine that. Guy selling bootleg porn out of Inglewood, and he doesn't have the wherewithal to pick up the phone when we called him back. So, Danny, if you're listening, I need you to head toward Glendale now.
To get the 8-track tapes?
Of the Partridge Family.
We gotta have that. It's a collector's item.
Hey, Gage?
It's screaming, come on, come by me.
Oh, now, he has a nice voice.
What if Bonaducci showed up at your house to buy your Partridge Family tape? Would that be surreal for you and your family?
That'd be surreal, and I might even dig up the porno.
All right. Please. All right, so dig up some porno because Danny's on a quest. We need to take a break. Danny, if you're listening, talk to Teddy. I'm going to put you on hold. Gage, hang on. Give Teddy your directions. Danny, punch it into the GPS and turn the Bonaducci mobile around and head for Glendale to pick up a piece of your past. We'll take a quick break. When we come back... Ah, Terry, my pterodactyl. That's right. He's tossing people into a volcano. Who do you want tossed into a volcano? I'll tell you who I want, so we'll tee and we'll do that next.
In case you didn't hear, Adam has a pterodactyl.
Here comes Terry. Swooping down. Pow.
Making the world a better place to live by picking up blowhard celebrities and dropping them into a volcano.
The town cheers, and that's the last we see of these people.
Who do you think should go in? Call 866-901-ADAM. It's the Adam Carolla Show.
All right, the Dooch Man is on his way to Glendale to pick up an 8-track of him from when he was 9. He has a Partridge Family 8-track. We're going to help that guy pay his mortgage.
Serendipitous that it worked out that way. We randomly called a guy with some 8-tracks, and he had the Partridge Family. Danny happened to be on the road.
We'll check in with Danny from the road. But first, my pterodactyl, Terry. Yes? Intro.
Swooping down from the Arco Tower, it's Adam's pterodactyl. You can run, but you can't hide.
Now, let me tell you how I thought of this. I watch those entertainment shows. I never stop rolling my eyes about Jessica Alba, who's going sweater shopping, and they bring a news crew with her. It really sort of started with all the chicks from Wisteria Lane over there. And Terry Hatcher would give interviews from red carpets about 4 nights a week, explaining that her ideal night was at home with some popcorn in her slippers and her friends watching an old black and white movie. And then I would yell at the TV, "Why aren't you ever there, bitch? You're dressed to the nines and you're doing interviews from every red carpet, but yet your idea of a great night is just staying home and cuddling up with a good book and your family." Well, why are you saying that from a red carpet every night? I'm half a celebrity, and you get a lot of offers. They say, "Hey, you want to come here? You want to come there? You want to do this? You want to do that?" And you go, "No." Why? Because I like popcorn and my kids, and I'm staying home. So fine, go do the red carpet, but don't tell me where you'd rather be from the place you're always at. And it's not like they need you wherever it is. You're just walking the carpet so you can be seen. Your publicist forces you out there. Just say, "I like attention. I'm getting old. I have a couple more years left of this, and I want to enjoy it. That's why I'm here. I don't even know what the charity is." So I think I want these people to go away. But then I think, well, they didn't kill anybody. I don't want them to die in a fiery car crash or get shot by a sniper's bullet. But it would be satisfying to see a pterodactyl swoop out of the sky, pick them up just off into the sunset with the smoking volcano in the distance. You have some pretty good ones here. I have some good ones myself. Paul is going to drop someone off in a volcano. I don't know why, but I agree with you, Paul. Paul?
Yes.
Who's your celebrity?
Rose McGowan.
I agree, but why?
Because she is completely 100% nuts.
Boobies. Yes, she's nuts.
What's the bad part?
But when you're nuts and super hot, it's a plus.
Yeah.
I don't like her butt chin either.
You mean she has a cleft in her chin? Most people find that attractive.
Mm.
She has beautiful skin. She's a beautiful woman.
Why hasn't she made any bootleg porn?
Huh.
You know, I agree with you. I'm going to drop her in the vault. You know what? I'm going to give her a choice. Videotape yourself having sex.
Yeah.
Or you'll get dropped in the volcano.
I think she'd probably choose the former.
Thank you. You know, there's a lot of that bootleg porn with the celebrities. It's never the celebrity I want to see. I'd love to see Rose McGowan do a little bootleg porn. And yes, she is nuts. I called her nuts on the radio once, and she called up and yelled at me for calling her nuts. But I'm like, well, you are.
Yeah.
Obviously not so nuts that she couldn't find the phone number and call up and yell at me, but still nuts. I don't mean that in a bad way. And by the way, when you're that hot, it's even hotter that you're nuts. Either way, I'm dropping her off in the volcano. I'll do our caller's bidding. But she'd definitely be one of these ones where I'd tell Terry to drop her by the Ace Man's pad and then go into a holding pattern for about 6 minutes and then pick her up and dump her in the volcano.
Well, because she's very thin, do you think you could take another actress at the same time? Could Terry possibly take Keira Knightley? In the same hand? I'm starting to...
I think Keira Knightley could get tossed, A, for her orange hair, B, for her refusal to eat, and then C, with her sort of attitude. I see her in those things. Yeah.
She's getting a little self-righteous and angry for somebody who...
You'd like her tossed in?
I'm about ready to be done with her.
Aaron has an interesting addition to the list. Aaron?
Hey, Adam.
Hey, Aaron.
I would love to see the Burger King King thrown into that volcano, because that is just the creepiest mascot I have ever seen.
Yeah, the super creepy guy.
It is creepy.
How would you feel waking up and then, you know, just having that thing just staring at you, hovering over your bed with a sandwich? That's not the first thing I want to see when I wake up.
I know, and you see those commercials where the guy gets out of bed and the Burger King guy's standing there in his bedroom handing him a ham sandwich, and the guy's like, hey, King, thanks. Where's my bathrobe?
He's not even scared.
I would freak out completely. Yes, he's shiny-faced. He's weird. I don't know who the guy is underneath it, and I want him tossed in a volcano. I agree. I'll toss the Jack-in-the-Box guy in, too, while I'm at it.
Yeah, he could poke someone's eye out.
His, with that nose is. Yeah, I mean, his commercials are funny, but I just feel like it's a twofer. As long as I'm tossing in a mascot from a competing burger place. By the way, how stupid are people that eat at these places that they have to have clowns and mascots, shiny mascots, selling their product? You know what I mean? Does Barney's of New York have a dinosaur? I know which one they'd use,
yes.
But I mean, when you're selling a Lexus,
right?
Do you have a guy dressed up as a dragon standing out front handing out lollipops with a shiny face?
No. I mean, because arguably Burger King is really just trying to sell you some poison.
Right. Well.
It's not as easy as sell.
All right. Miss Vegan over there.
Hey, God bless them. They're a sponsor.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
You drive right to TMZ after the show, or do you
oh, no.
go home? Is there a place
just
you like
I
to stop
on? Just because I don't eat meat, I go,
What's
please
the
don't
route?
Take me. Please
just give me the route.
Please don't take me.
You don't have a convertible, do you?
No.
Mm-hmm.
No. And I'm not that small.
Do you park on the street, or is it underground parking over there in
covered
TMZ?
Covered parking. You'll never get to me.
Covered parking. Interesting.
I'm way under.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But then you head home about what time when you're not doing TV water cooler?
On those days?
Mm-hmm.
And they're totally random. There's no pattern.
Mm-hmm.
There's no way you could ever.
Please.
Around.
Mm-hmm.
2:30.
Parked on the street over there at Batman's place?
Yeah, we live together now.
Interesting. Okay, noted. Let's see.
Sometimes I go over to Danny's.
Somebody wants... oh, believe me, I've talked to Terry about him before. Dave?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Dave?
Yes?
Who would you like thrown in the volcano?
Well, I have a special request.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd like you to have this pterodactyl pick this guy up by the testicles.
Mm.
David Lee Roth.
What did he do to you?
Oh, he's a blowhard.
True.
Yes, totally.
Yeah. I don't know. I never heard his radio show, so I don't know what... I can't comment on it. Everyone said it was god-awful. On the other hand, he's a very colorful character, but then that wears you out after a while. So, like, in little short spurts when he's doing a funny video from the 80s, I feel like I could handle him. But I don't know about full-time.
Yeah.
Hmm. All right.
That's a tough one.
Is he East Coast? Is he on the tour right now?
On tour, yeah.
Hmm. That Eddie Van Halen would be a nice little stocking stuffer for the volcano, too.
Oh, come on.
You don't think we should take Eddie?
No.
Eddie stays, but Dave goes?
Yeah.
And then who do we get? The guy from Extreme to pick up the rest of the tour? Because if that's true, I got to make a call right now.
Here's the thing.
Right now.
Yeah. Pterodactyl, more than words.
God, no.
Yes.
Oh, no.
If you want the guy from Extreme, you say it now because I must hang up right now and call
his name,
Terry.
Sharon?
I don't know. I just said the guy with the long hair who was singing.
Yeah. Take him.
Okay. All right.
Take him.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Dave.
You just decimated Van Halen.
I know.
It's like that.
We need, I'm thinking about going after that Valerie. What's her name?
Bertinelli?
Yeah. She's got to drop another 6 pounds, though.
Before Terry can pick her up?
She's a great big fat person.
Yeah, I know. A lot of you people are wondering, what's Kirstie Alley doing walking around? Why isn't she in a volcano? I have a maximum tonnage capacity on this guy. I can't overload Terry. You understand?
She's got to be careful with her dieting.
Right. We need to take a break. I have a few people from my list. Ooh, Copperfield's at the top of it.
Oh, yeah.
But I have another list here. And Bonaducci is on the way to Glendale to pick up an 8-track with his picture on it. I know his picture will be on the cover of this 8-track from 1974. So he's going to pick that up. We'll continue with your celebs that need to be tossed in the volcano and a couple of mine as well. Shatner into the volcano. Three problems. A, seems like a great guy by all accounts. B, hairpiece. C, morbid obesity.
He's not that obese, is he? He's bloated. He's got
a little
the Vince
over.
Vaughn bloat.
I already have Terry wearing one of those harness back brake things the guys wear at the Home Depot.
Right.
Thing that straps around your gut with the suspenders built into it.
Yeah, you tell Terry when you lift, you got to bend your knees.
Yes. I say lift from the talon.
Right.
That's right. Or the thorax, or whatever they
whatever
have.
They have.
And stop using those little hands on the ends of your wings. I keep telling them that's ornamental.
Who do you want Terry to take?
Well, I've got Copperfield. I also have, first there's Tyra, because Tyra's talking about her vajayjay on her show again. She's been tossed in three times already. I'm going to make it four.
Does she keep crawling out?
She keeps getting out of there. Publicist keeps dragging her out of the volcano. Let's hear Tyra.
I have really bad cramps, but I have come up with what I call my four-prong attack of the cramp. Okay? My four-prong attack of the cramp. The pill, the bath, the heating pad, and the tea. The four-prong cramp attack.
She's so in love with herself. You know, people aren't funny, always do this. Okay! Yeah, we heard you. We're just not laughing. You know what the fifth one is?
What?
The one that'll do away with cramps forever? Molten lava.
Five prongs.
A 2,500-foot free fall into a bath of molten lava.
I feel like she's going to keep scrapping and clawing her way out of the volcano no matter what Terry does.
Mm.
I mean, she's been thrown in 3 or 4 times.
I know. I'm going to have to talk to Terry about his batting average as it pertains to Tyra. Tom Brady must go in, and he must go in this season before they go 16-0.
You know, the thing is we're 9-0, and it really doesn't matter.
No, doesn't matter.
How's Terry going to catch Tom Brady?
It matters to all the teams that are 1-8. That's a good point. Well, he'll just look for a supermodel on their back.
David Copperfield, you're a friend from Las Vegas.
I will bait my trap by taking a supermodel and tossing her on her back. When Brady comes sniffing around, I'll have him slide in there, and I'll catch Copperfield that way, too. I was just listening to the story about Copperfield and how he had all his assistants out there with Polaroid cameras and clipboards with getting information on the chicks. Are you married? Did you come to the show with your husband or boyfriend? Would you like to visit my island? And then I started thinking about Siegfried and Roy and everyone else, and I thought, what is it about being a magician that retards your sexuality? It's not just that you're horny. You have to have sort of retarded sexuality.
People who are attracted to magic maybe are already a little...
Yeah, I think it's not that Siegfried and Roy, it's not the part that they're gay. They have a bizarre sexuality, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, it's all wrapped up with animals.
Yes. Anytime you go swimming with animals other than Labradors, there's a problem.
What about dolphins?
What are they doing to you? All right, who else do I have? I have Billy Mays from the infomercials, the guy who dyes his beard jet black and starts talking about the Wonder Mop.
He's got to go.
Tucks his shirt in too tight, and he's too excited about a squeegee with like a vacuum attached to it. He's really pumped up about stuff I can use in my RV. And I never felt bad about not having a boat or an RV until Billy May started screaming at me that I could use whatever he had, my OxyClean, in my RV or my boat.
Yeah.
And then I think to myself, how many people watching this commercial at 4:30 in the morning on Channel Z have a boat and an RV?
Basically just shaming you for what you don't
That's
have.
That's right. Say apartment. Let's call a spade a spade. Say your dad's apartment. Larry King needs to go in from his interview with Seinfeld earlier this week. This is a disaster.
And they put us on Thursday. We went from 58 to 4 in 1 week. And that was it. And then we started doing better than Cheers. And then I don't know. I don't know how it happened.
Lasted how long?
9 years. 180 episodes.
You gave it up, right?
I did. So.
They didn't cancel you. You canceled them.
He said I did.
You're not aware of this?
No, I'm asking you.
You think I got canceled? Are you under the impression that I got canceled?
Have I hurt you, Jerry?
I thought that was pretty well documented.
Don't
this is
most
a,
shows
is this still
down.
CNN?
Don't most shows go down a little?
Most people do also.
You would.
But, yeah, no, I went off the air. I was the number one show on television, Larry.
You were
Do you know who I am?
Jewish guy, Brooklyn.
Yes.
Okay.
75 million viewers last episode.
Who are you?
That super condescending thing where the people ask the same question again. So were you canceled or did you leave? And you go, no, we weren't canceled. And then they rephrase it and they go, so they didn't pull the plug? What do you think you're going to do? Change your mind halfway into it? You just answered the question. Oh, that old crow.
Seinfeld, though, is spared because I thought he handled himself very well, and that neutralizes the annoying effects of the B-movie promotions.
Oh, and just the slogan, honey, just got funny. That slogan is so in love with itself. That slogan thinks its ass doesn't stink.
It stings.
Ugh. Here's my problem with Larry King.
Oh, no, not me.
I've tried to throw him into the volcano on a number of occasions.
What happened?
Well, here's the thing. First off, Terry said done and done. Why? He's a bag of bones. He barely weighs 80 pounds.
Yeah.
Two, those suspenders are just like hooks. They're just like handles. You just fly by and grab those things. Plus, he has a pretty good tuft of hair and a nice beak himself to grab onto. So no problem. So he went off, and I said, Dom, I had him tossed in about 3 years ago. I didn't want to talk about it because I promised Terry I wouldn't. It's embarrassing to him. He got about 2,500 feet over the volcano. He let Larry go, and Terry flies about 80, 90 knots. So what he'll do is he'll let the prey go a couple hundred yards in front of the mouth of the volcano because it's going to keep carrying, like when you drop a bomb from an airplane, you know? So he let him go, and he free fell for a couple hundred feet, as Terry said, and then wings popped out of his shoulders, and he circled back and came after Terry. Turns out he's part bat. You know when they call him like an old bat?
It literally
means it.
Does he sleep?
He sleeps upside down. He hangs upside down. That's why he has a suspender, so he doesn't fall out of his pants.
Wow.
He hangs upside down, but his hair doesn't move.
How are you going to get him?
He sleeps in the entry hall closet of his house in Bel Air.
Because I assumed, as you'd mentioned before, that he's been dead for some time now.
Yes.
But continues to broadcast.
Yes, he's the undead, but barely. I think you'd have to qualify that with Larry King. You know, when they go, they do the zombie movies, they go, he's amongst the undead. With Larry, you'd have to go, he's amongst the barely undead. Jared?
Yes.
You caught my eye with your entry. Who is it?
Kimora Lee Simmons.
Oh, that half-breed Imelda Marcos who never stopped showing off her shoe collection and does that thing where they go to their palatial estate. And by the way, I'm going after Russell Simmons, too.
Thank you.
Because he's like, Russell Simmons, when he gives that tour of his 50,000-square-foot home with the observatory and the bocce ball court and everything in it, he'll go, over here on the left is the dojo that I pray in every morning. I humble myself by taking my shoes off and going to pray because I'm a practicing Buddhist. And you go, oh, and then he goes, over here's, and then over there to the right's the gold leaf toilet I crap into. And you go, well, which is it? Which is it? How can you be the world's most spiritual guy and do it from the Taj Mahal? Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I know.
All right. She's in, Jared.
Thank you.
She's got to drop a couple pounds, though. She's a little heavy.
Yeah, well, maybe some of that fake plastic-looking skin will fall off, hopefully.
Nice. Melt right off in the volcano. All right, last one. Hey, Autumn?
Yes?
Who would you like tossed in?
Ty Pennington.
Ty,
you're not a jackass.
My arch nemesis.
Couldn't agree with you more on.
Why all the hating? I mean, what's going on, man?
Because you are a horrible carpenter.
Know. That's right.
The megaphone is probably the part that bugs me the most about him. All the yelling, it's just ridiculous.
It bugs me, too, and that good morning, Johnsonville. Hold on. Wasn't there a movie called Good Morning Vietnam that Robin Williams did the whole good morning thing in? It always drives me nuts. Hey, you know when you're watching American Idol and Randy Jackson's like, hey, man, where's my dog pound? And you're watching, you're going, hey, where's Arsenio, jackass?
You can't help but be embarrassed for them.
I know.
It's difficult to watch.
Doesn't his empathy for the family seem phony?
It seems like it's all part of the show. And I mean, anybody that can yell and be that obnoxious really can't possibly care that much.
Well, my only beef is I went and when that show was getting started, great career move. They wanted me to be on that show. And I went and talked to the people over at Entimal.
Extreme Home Makeover.
Production company. And they said,
you're not a jackass.
We want you to be the guy. And I said, hey, all right. And they said, well, when we say the guy, we mean one of the carpenter guys who works under Ty Pennington. And I said, who's Ty Pennington? And they said, the funniest, best looking master carpenter on the planet. And I said, there's no such thing. There's no such thing as funny and master carpenter. You can be Norm Abrams, who is stiffer than a piece of knotty pine. He's working in a joiner. Or you can be funny and have a personality and know nothing about carpentry and just be a talking headpiece. Well, it turned out Ty was neither funny nor a carpenter.
Why all the hating?
So God bless him.
Yeah, I disagree. He's definitely not funny.
And also, another guy I want to toss into the volcano, and Ty can be tossed in twice because of this, the 40-year-old guys who are walking around wearing the thermal shirts with the T-shirts over them.
Yeah.
Like they're in a grunge band from 11 years ago.
Dude.
I like that look.
But look, when you're 44 and you're wearing the choker and you're wearing the stupid surf shirt over the stupid thermal shirt, it doesn't it seem desperate?
I don't get the tie thing. I mean, Autumn, is he attractive to you?
Autumn?
God, no. Not at all. Not even.
Why not? He's good looking.
No. No, I can't. He doesn't do it for me.
So, Autumn, you see something in Ty Pennington that bumps you as a human being, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's what I see.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you.
And by the way, when I worked at TLC, when he was doing Trading Spaces, that was during the same time we were doing While You Were Out, and it was well known throughout the company that their crew traveled with a master carpenter who did all the carpentry. Ty would do... you know, would start a project on camera, he would finish it on camera, and in the middle, an actual carpenter would do the work. I don't care for that.
I don't either, and it's everything. It's not Ty's fault. He's just getting a paycheck. He's an actor of sorts, but it's everything that's wrong with TV. All right, we need to take ourselves a break. How about an outro?
Run, Hollywood. Run.
We've done some good work today.
Thank you. We'll take ourselves a break. Danny is on his way to Glendale. He's almost there. He's going to a guy's house. He's trying to make his mortgage payment by selling 8-track cassettes. Not what you want to hear is the wife of the guy who has a plan when the wife says, how are we going to make our mortgage payment this month? And you go, don't worry about it, baby. I got a plan. And you go, tell me more. You know those 8-track cassettes you laughed at me for having? Yes. Well, guess who's selling them for $1 a piece? So, 2,800 of those later, we should be able to make our nut for this month?
This is what you woke me up for.
We'll take ourselves a quick break. Danny's going to buy himself a Partridge Family 8-track from a guy from Craigslist next.
Right now on the Adam Carolla Show, Danny Bonaducci hit the road to buy some shit on Craigslist. We're finally going to find out who the f*** sells this shit on the Adam Carolla Show.
That's right. We spoke to Gage. Gage is in Glendale. Gage is having trouble making his mortgage this month. He has a bunch of 8-track cassette tapes he's selling for $1 a piece. Gage?
I am here.
Has Danny pulled up yet?
No, I am looking for Danny. We're
right
on top of a hill in a cul-de-sac. So.
Mm-hmm. Do you smell smoke?
No.
All right, then he's not near you. Yet. There's usually a plume of smoke that arrives 10 minutes before Danny does. Now, Danny's got his GPS system fired up in his new Subaru, and we'll talk to Danny. Danny, how close are you?
A mile exactly.
A mile exactly. So if
I am on, just to let him know, I am on East Mountain Street, a mile away. So how far does he, well, obviously, it's a mile. Oh, a cop.
Wait. Ooh.
Yeah, hang on, let me just put this away. Go ahead, what?
What are you hiding, Danny?
Something. they will get you. You're about 2 minutes away, I would guess. You know what's really funny?
Hmm.
If I'm right near Nicole Richie's house. Dude, you have money.
Hey, Gage. Gage,
yes, sir.
Yeah, his 8-tracks for $1 on Craigslist beg to differ. But, you have an 8-track of the Partridge Family, yes?
I have an 8-track of the Partridge Family, yeah.
Do you have it in your hand as we speak?
No, we're going to have to dig through here. It's
what the hell have you been doing all this time?
Yeah, you've had the last hour to dig through your junk.
I'm fighting carpet people also.
All right, hold on a second. Danny, you keep driving. You'll be there in the next 45 seconds to a minute. Gage?
Yes, sir.
Just trying to clear the static a little bit here. You have your 8-tracks out.
I have partial 8-tracks out. We've got a garage full of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And dig. I found a couple of pictures of two dead Johns, John Ritter and John Denver, actually.
All right, I'll take those. And what about any other 8-tracks I may want?
Let me go to the ones that I have.
Do you have any Neil Diamond?
Oh, let's take a look. Hang on. We are right here.
We'll take one of those if you got greatest hits.
A Jewish gal liking Neil Diamond. That's
shocker.
I haven't heard that one before.
Brothers, Electric Light Orchestra, The Beach Boys, Gordon Lightfoot, Wings.
Hold on. Gordon Lightfoot?
Gordon Lightfoot.
I know our demo. Yep. Does it have
Summertime
the
dream.
Does it have the wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald on there?
I'm taking a look. There you go.
Because there's no other possible way for me to hear that song other than by your 8-track cassette.
Yeah.
Now, let's see. It is Summertime Dream, mm-hmm. Race Among the Runes. I'm Not Supposed to Care. I'd Do It Again. Never Too Close. The House You Live In. Summertime Dream. Spanish Moss.
Sounds like the movie phone guy.
At 8 p.m., Spanish Moss.
If you know the name.
If you know the name of the wrecked ore barge that went down on Lake Erie and claimed 23 souls, press 4 now.
If you're interested in Electric Light Orchestra, press 3.
Oh, Age, have you been told this?
Hold on. Oh, bald Brian. What do you got on that ELO? I like ELO, and I'm kind of embarrassed to admit it.
Yeah, let's take a look. It looks like Shine a Little Love.
Oh, that's a nice song. Even ELO had to write a song about an evil woman because it was the 70s. It was a federal requirement.
You rambled.
And you wrote about evil, devil, witchy
Gypsy.
Women from New Orleans. Yeah. Hey, Gage?
Yes, sir.
If you don't mind me asking, what's your monthly mortgage over there?
$2,700.
$2,700.
Oh.
And how close are you to making that?
$2,500 away.
What?
So $2,500 eight tracks or John Ritter headshot sales later, you'll be right on track to make your nut?
I'll be right on track, yeah.
Are you talking about your December mortgage?
I am talking about my December mortgage. I have not made one yet. This house closed escrow a matter of a week ago.
Mm-hmm.
My payments are $2,700.
But Gage must have a good job because in today's climate, it's extremely difficult to get a loan.
It was very hard to get a loan, actually.
Can I give you some good news and bad news?
I'd love to hear it.
The bad news is you're getting a divorce because your wife is listening, and the good news is you're not going to lose anything because you have nothing.
She put me in this mess. If she didn't have the carpets coming in, I'd be fine.
But maybe you should have a little cushion when you buy a place.
Yeah, it's called carpet padding.
Yeah, well, there was more of a cushion. There's the new couch that she had to have. There's the stripping of the wallpaper.
Hey, don't bring me down, Gage.
I was there, man.
Don't make me down, Bruce.
You're bringing us down a little bit.
All right, Gage, is Danny there?
No.
Do we find out what Gage does for a living?
Evidently nothing.
Gage, what do you do?
I've worked for AT&T for 28 years.
Mm-hmm. And you're gainfully employed?
But I'm trying.
Speaking of AT&T, perhaps your wife, who likes to do the shopping, should pick up the phone and make with the sex talk so you can get a little extra money.
Lisa! Come here.
Hey, Danny, are you there?
According to my GPS, I have arrived. Ask you to be here.
After 200 yards, I have reached my destination.
Right.
This is the second time I have been here. It's going to tell me I'm here. There's my checkered flag. Ask this bitch if he hears my horn.
It's a manly horn.
I know.
Hey, Gage.
Yes, sir.
Do you hear the honk of Danny's horn?
Yes, I do. Tell him to keep coming.
I'm going to just go ahead and say keep driving because Danny's a literalist.
Oh, you see him? Hot. I see him.
All right.
Dude, there's hot chicks here.
Really?
She's the one that tore me up on the carpet.
All right, hang on a second, Gage. I was gonna say just punch loser into the navigation system, but you're there.
I'm right here. I'm shaking Gage's hand at this very moment. Hello, you are. Hi, Lisa. How are you? Drinking a monster. I see that. Your daughter Ashley. How are you?
Now, do they have the Partridge Family 8-track there, Danny?
We're walking into the garage even as we speak. They might as well just put a sign on the house that says Craigslist.
Really? Everything's for sale.
A Partridge Family 8-track would be nothing odd.
Really?
I'm looking at Barry Manilow, John Denver, and the Ronettes, Super Tramp. I'll give that one to Amy.
Hey, Gage.
Yes, sir.
I'll give you $10 for a few bats of the rolled insulation inside your house's wall.
You got it.
All right. Hey, Danny.
Oh, my God. They're disgusting. He's got a couple of different dead Johns. He's got John Denver and John Ritter. Hey, it's his dead John collection.
Do me a favor, Danny.
Yes?
A, do not have sex with his young daughter.
Okay.
B, find the Partridge Family a track.
Mm-hmm.
And then C, hang on, because we need to take a break.
All right. I'll start. Do you want this autographed bowling ball?
Who signed it?
It's signed by
my mother.
His mother.
Is her name Nelson Burton Jr.?
Dude, if I turn around and this guy's got an axe, I want to raise right now.
Is
you understand me?
Is his mother named Earl Anthony?
I don't know, but I see him.
Otherwise, I'm not interested. It's the only two pro bowlers I can think of.
I can't believe you pulled two pro bowlers out of your ass.
It's not easy.
Bothers me in any way, but you seem a tad off from like a normal person.
I understand.
Why is the X-Acto knife out and in the middle of the floor?
Oh, box cutter. Look out.
I don't really want to go into it.
All right, Danny, get yourself, find the A-track with your picture on it when you were nine. And bring it back to the studio. We'll take a break. We'll check back in with Danny. T will have the news teed up as well. T?
David Copperfield actually had a script for his employees to butter up women, and now I have it.
Now his writers are on strike, and he won't be able to get laid. Take a quick break. Be back with David Copperfield's actual script next.
Classic Pool. The 1998 Women's Pool Tournament from Tunica, Mississippi. At 8 on HGTV, be sure to miss Motor Mansions 2. A look at ultra-luxurious motorhomes. And at 9 on HDNTM, don't watch Three Wishes, a nostalgic tale set in the 50s where a drifter enlightens a suburban single mom after a chance meeting. Starring Patrick Swayze. That's what not to watch. Now back to the Adam Carolla Show.
Well, the Dooch Man is in Glendale. We sent him over to that chap's house that was trying to make his mortgage by selling $1 8-track cassettes. He said he had the Partridge Family. Now, neither one of them are on the line. So
and
Teddy's
in a chilling twist,
I got
he
a little
made
nervous
love to the corpse.
When Danny pointed out there was a box cutter, and you could hear Gage in the background saying something like, let's not talk about that.
Yeah. All right. Well, he had his daughters there, so hopefully he's on the up and up, and he's mad as hell at his wife for buying carpeting.
He had a collection of dead Johns. It's weird.
Yeah. It's funny because Danny has a collection of dead hookers. Perhaps they could get together. Oh, guy's name John. I get it now. All right. Danny is on the line.
Once again, when they found the corpse, both ring fingers were missing.
Danny?
Yes.
Are you still at Gage's place?
I'm in front of his house and locked in my Subaru.
Why?
Well, because we were looking around for said Partridge Family tape, and I found a couple of things that I found disturbing enough to think it was best to call from the inside of a locked Subaru.
Like what?
Such as?
Well, I'm. Do you want them described or
yes?
Yes.
Because it's really one I want to bring back to Teresa rather badly because I think she'll enjoy it.
Anal effers.
I mean, I already have a few copies of anal effers.
What?
Not like this, you know.
Really?
What? You know what's interesting? I got yelled at
by him.
No, he's got like they're redoing their house, which is one of the reasons they're getting rid of some of this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And so there was a picture and I saw this cool pirate hat that I thought would look good on me.
Mm-hmm.
So I picked up the pirate hat, and then I saw the framed picture, and I turned it around, and I didn't even really look at it. And a worker who's here to do some sort of paving or coppering screamed at me, "That's my daughter right there. Turn that picture around." So I'm not exactly sure what it is, but I have it in the car, and it's really offensive to children.
Well, then that means we'll be delighted by it. Well, Danny, I'll tell you what, then. He never found the Partridge Family 8-track cassette?
Not fast enough for me to get the hell out of there, Adam.
All right. So you got the heebie-jeebies. And listen, when Bonaducci is freaked out, when you've upset his delicate sensibilities, you really have to be a serial killer.
Out of curiosity, how did Gage look?
Gage looked a lot like... You remember how when everybody says, you know, Dahmer looked so normal and was quiet?
Mm-hmm.
imagine if people described Dahmer as you would think he would look, a guy that killed and ate other people.
So he looked like Dahmer should have looked.
Exactly.
All right.
Like, when he kills people, everybody on the block's going to say, oh, I knew it.
Hey, Danny, I think we can finish this mission off nicely because we originally sent Danny out, well, it was Friday at noon, to go find the riders and talk to the guys on the picket lines. But he got there too early because the picketing goes on from 9 to 5. Danny, you're in Glendale.
I am.
When you head back to our studio, you will pass right by NBC Studios where Leno was handing out Krispy Kreme donuts yesterday morning into a big line of actual picketers who started 7.5 minutes ago.
Does that mean I have to lose the pirate hat, the Playboy underwear, and the ho-ho-ho gloves?
I'd say keep it all.
You can bring them with you, but why don't we finish what we started? Why don't you hit that group on NBC over there on Alameda or wherever the hell that Riverside or wherever that street is? We know where NBC is.
It's on all of them. I'm on my way.
You've done Leno's show more than once. Go there. See if you can find Leno. But let's talk to some of the writers, and then we'll do the news, and we'll come back and wrap it up with that, and it'll be mission accomplished. Yes?
On my way, Chief.
Good times. All right. The Dooch Man is now on his way to NBC to talk to some of the writers, possibly Leno himself. T?
Yep.
Now the news.
Teresa Strasser with tomorrow's news. Today.
As you mentioned, and as everyone has probably heard by now, the writers are on strike. Danny's going to go support our brothers and sisters on the picket line by dropping off some Girl Scout cookies. Meanwhile, magician David Copperfield did a little writing.
Creeperfield.
Copperfield.
Look, I am just glad that my spidey sense is right. That when I see a guy that's been making the hairs on the back of my neck stand up for the last 20 years, I'm right. I'm just glad to be right. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We all always were bothered by him and bugged by him. Now it turns out all our suspicions were true.
It's satisfying.
Yes.
He had a script for his employees to butter up women he brought backstage after shows. And now, thanks to the magic of the internet, we can all take a look at that script, which made its way online yesterday. It's called Show Participation, and it contains pretty detailed instructions for Copperfield's employees on how to bring ladies backstage after he has used them in his show.
Has anyone attempted to speak to Claudia Schiffer, and do you think she could string together a sentence if we did?
Probably not.
I don't feel like, between her German accent and her supermodel brain, do you think she could communicate with other adults?
Mm.
Have you ever heard her speak?
No. I think I have. Here's the script. Hi, how are you? Did you enjoy the show this evening? Good. My name is blank, and I work for David. We just wanted to thank you for your participation in the show, and David will be here in a few minutes to also thank you personally. Every time we see someone in the audience or on stage with a look and personality that's special, we like to get more information so that we can possibly contact you in the future, and so we can invite you and your family to the show whenever we're in your city. Do you know that David has recently bought some islands in the Bahamas? Well, they are beautiful, and we are doing a lot of projects for these islands, ads, TV, radio, and many other promotions. So we'd like to keep in touch with you in case there's a job in the future we think you would be interested in.
Mm-hmm.
The script goes on, and of course there's a questionnaire. The questionnaire asks things like, do you have a husband, a boyfriend, or did you come to the show with a friend? Now, speaking of husbands and boyfriends, there are specific instructions on how to deal with them, too. It says, quote, from time to time, boyfriends and husbands will give us a hard time and refuse to stay. If this is the case.
You know those guys are so tight. Come on. It's, what is it, 07?
Right.
Coming up on 08?
And they won't let you have at it?
Can't rape
lady?
Your wife on an island? Come on, buddy. Hey, Squaresville. Hey, Pops. Where's the fire? Come on. What year is it? Is this a light raping on a private island I bought?
And as you said, a light raping on an island is not the same.
Dusting of rape. Drive-by raping.
Smattering.
Casual raping.
Now, it goes on to say that if the boyfriends and husbands give a hard time, try to get your best to get them to stay and refer to the, quote, What to Say sheet for help. Unfortunately,
I'm this close to raping you!
Unfortunately, the What to Say sheet is yet to find its way online.
Oh, I gotta see that.
I cannot wait for that.
And by the way, shouldn't there be a wristband like quarterbacks wear in the NFL these days? The sheet seems a little clumsy.
It does. Maybe you memorize it?
I think I would go ahead and commit that to memory, because when I see a guy dragging his finger down a clipboard when I'm arguing with him...
And going, hello, my name is...
Yes.
Bob.
Hello. Yeah, when he says sir or ma'am, that's when I know we got trouble. That's great. That's despicable. Look, it's one thing if you have a couple single chicks and you want to get laid, but when the chick is there with her husband and you're trying to get her off to the island...
And you have a methodology for getting rid of the boyfriend or husband?
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, these targets are referred to, for reasons unexplained, as scorpions.
Mm. Also, getting the stink of Copperfield off your old lady after she went to the island with her?
Lemon juice?
Yeah, that would have to be...
Bleach?
Autoclave. Toss her in that oven like a dental instrument.
Just
seriously,
really get it off.
Because there's bad, you know, there's like, all right, she got it on with Tom Brady. He's a winner.
Right.
He's a winner. He can check down, find the open man.
Right.
Evidently the open woman as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're guys you'd be all right with. You know, Muhammad Ali, Joe Montana, you know, guys like that. But Copperfield, yeah.
Are you saying you wouldn't do Claudia Schiffer?
Ooh. Sister.
It's a tough one.
Mm.
She does have the stink, but does the stink fade after? I mean, they haven't been together for years.
Mm.
Or is it a permanent tattoo?
I'll find out.
Duh. Okay.
It's like, why is your vagina orange? I was with Copperfield and he used to tan. I mean, he put the spray on tan on every... I mean, he didn't wear trunks when he did the spray on tan.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to... Stain
he's creepy.
He really is.
Hey, David Copperfield, your friend from Las Vegas.
Yeah.
It's a voice message he left for one of his scorpions.
Mm.
Do you think the new magicians are going to turn out creepy like David Blaine and Chris Angel?
That's affirmative. Well, Blaine's already a weird sort of womanizing weirdo, and Chris Angel's turning into a weirdo too, right?
Yeah, I think you're right. It's a fait accompli.
Look, how many times do I have to tell all you people this? It's not a coincidence that almost every publicist is a despicable human being. And it's not a coincidence that most meter maids are horrible and that most attorneys are horrible and now magicians are horrible. Certain professions attract bad people. Magician, right at the top of the list.
Well, that is some serious David Blaine trickery, my friend.
It goes magician, publicist... Nazi stormtrooper.
That's the exact order.
That's right.
The Spice Girls have a big
That's
reunion
fourth.
Tour.
That's Spice Girls.
They've got a reunion tour. It kicks off December 2nd in Vancouver.
Mm-hmm.
Some of their music has leaked out onto the internet.
Yeah.
And this is a song.
They're doing new stuff?
Yeah. I think this is called Voodoo.
This is Spice Milfs?
Yeah. Yeah, they mostly have kids. I think all of them have kids except Sporty. Can't believe I know that. Hate myself more than usual. Kind of good.
Again, stuff is so produced now that I don't know if it's good or not. Like, I just... It's like staring at a picture that was airbrushed 1,000 times. Like, is the girl really hot? Is her skin that perfect? I don't know. Was this just created by technicians? Sounds fine.
It's pretty good. Not bad.
Yeah. All right.
Angelina Jolie does some things around the house, and I'll tell you what they are. But not yet, because we have to go to break.
All right. We'll come back with the rest of the news.
Yep.
All right. So here's what's going on. Danny's left the serial killer's house in Glendale. Glendale, where he is in Glendale, from Leno's studio over at NBC, as the crow flies, is about 4 to 6 miles, depending where he is in Glendale. So he should get there lickety-split, and we'll finally give those cookies away and talk to those riders on strike. It's a mission we started almost 4 hours ago. Danny will get there. T will finish up the news. Then we'll talk to Danny. All that coming up.
You're listening to the Adam Carolla Show.
Well, we broke the news off into two parts. Danny is making his way to Leno's place. He's going to get himself some Krispy Kremes and hand out. Between Danny handing out the Girl Scout cookies and them noshing down on the Krispy Kremes yesterday, they're all going to be too fat to go back to work in 6 months. See if we can talk to some of the writers, find out what's going on with the strike. T,
yep.
Keep the news going.
Angelina Jolie was on Good Morning America. She talked about Thanksgiving and who would be in charge of cooking.
I'm not much of a cook, so we'll see what happens.
Who does the cook?
This year, we've been well. I try. we all chip in, but I don't think I'll be. I don't think anybody in my family wants me to handle Thanksgiving dinner.
You know, I know what's wrong.
What?
What happened? You know how men are turning into women and women are turning into men and we're both just turning into one big, fat, milk-producing, zoftic hermaphrodite?
Right.
You want to play the like us laugh, by the way, Brian? and it's getting very sad. I'll tell you what the problem is. Men are announcing boldly, I can't change a flat to fix. I couldn't save my life. I don't know how to screw in a light bulb. And they're bragging about it and laughing about it. There used to be a shame. And by the same token, women are doing the same thing with cooking. I can't cook. I don't even know what side of the spatula is up. It's not funny. It's not funny. Women don't know how to cook anymore, and it's not funny. Guys can't change a flat, and it's not funny. Guys can't fight anymore, and it's not funny.
Definitely not funny.
Yeah, you think it's all funny now. Soon, we won't be able to do anything that rhymes with fight and starts with an F.
Wait.
Fornicate or doesn't exactly rhyme, but it starts with an F.
Sure.
Huh?
And then it won't be so funny. There'll just be a bunch of guys with ambiguous genitalia sitting around in spacesuits going, I don't F anymore. I can't F anymore. And then we'll not be able to reproduce and we'll die as a planet. Well, that's what's going to happen if these celebrities don't start cooking and now. It's not funny. You can't cook. That's a problem. Wear it is a scarlet letter. The Jesus. Scarlet Sea.
People might mistake it.
Well, I shouldn't refer to my wife as Scarlet Sea. I think it sends the wrong message. But you know what
I'm
saying.
Making her wear that shirt.
People, it's as a woman, you should know how to cook or be embarrassed that you can't. And as guys, you should know where the engine is on your car. You should know how to pop the hood, lift it up, and pull a dipstick out. And if you can't, quit bragging about it. Thank you. Where's the shame?
Not enough.
Goatee.
I feel like I'm taking up other people's shame.
That's right.
That they might be able to use.
Shame Hog. Great band out of England.
I love their music.
What
Danny
else?
Bonaducci.
Hmm?
Our own Danny Bonaducci.
What happened to that kid? I miss him and Brusca the most.
Oh, Brusca. Every day I get nostalgic.
Every time you make a number two and look back at your handiwork, you get nostalgic.
It was a great show.
A lot of fun.
I
never don't appreciate his absence. You know what I'm saying?
I'm chubby or I'm a lesbian.
Every day I smell the roses. It never gets old.
It's nice, huh? It's like being freed from a camp.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's true. Every
appreciate
day.
Your fresh air.
I'm liberated.
All right.
Camp Bologna Sandwich. Now, our own Danny Bonaducci has a new project.
Hmm?
CBS Mobile launches its first original animated program.
Anal Effers.
I thought it was a weird title, but they went with it. It's actually called Danny Bonaducci Life Coach.
Mm-hmm.
8 fictitious vignettes feature Danny Bonaducci and his real voice. I'm reading off their press release, offering life lessons to infamous headline-grabbing celebrities.
Mm-hmm.
It's a series that's going to stream on CBS Mobile Video Partners as well as on CBS.com and across the CBS Audience Network.
Danny, I said, how is the pay? He said, 1,400 Marlboro miles.
I said,
wow.
Pay him in just miles.
They pay him in Marlboro miles. He says if he gets another series on cable, he's going to get a kayak and a pup tent.
Well, from what I understand.
Like guys who smoke like camping.
Yeah,
by the way,
weird.
Shouldn't we encourage chain smokers to go out in the wilderness and light a butt? Do you know what I mean?
Seems like a bad
Most
idea.
Most of these fires were probably started by guys with Marlboro Miles.
Yeah.
You know what your Marlboro Miles should be? It should be floaties for the pool and ashtrays and stuff first around the house.
Go to the rainforest.
Yeah, we don't need lanterns and crossbows for guys who chain smoke.
But what you do need is Danny coming to you out of your mobile phone and telling you how to act. Now, I don't have...
Danny Bonaducci, a live coach. Danny Bonaducci, a live coach. He was a Hollywood star when he was just a kid. But he partied too hard and led a life of sin.
Premiering on mobile video services of major U.S. wireless carriers, November 12th.
Where'd the song come from?
It's the theme song. We've got a hold of it.
Well,
really?
Does it come out of your phone?
Yeah, it's an animated show. It's like a cartoon in your phone, and that's his theme song.
Wow. I thought Bonaducci was just a party in my head. It turns out there's a cartoon on the phone as well.
Yeah.
Good times.
Kind of fun. I'm looking forward to it.
All right.
I'm looking forward to talking to Danny Bonaducci and striking writers that he's going to give Girl Scout cookies to.
Yeah. Now, for those of you who aren't caught up, he went out about 7 a.m. We're all naive. We get up at 5 or 4:30 or whatever. We assume everyone's up by 7 because it's 5 hours after we got up. But it turns out the writers are only striking from about 9 to 5. So we sent him out. He couldn't find any striking writers, so then we sent him to Glendale to go... Well, actually, we sent him to Inglewood to go get me some bootleg porn, but it turns out that didn't work out. So then we sent him to Glendale to go get an 8-track of the Partridge Family. The guy creeped him out. That didn't work out.
He creeped out Danny Bonaducci and scared him.
Not easy to do. So he then... got back in his Subaru and is now driving to Leno's place and NBC Studios in Burbank, which is just the next town over from Glendale. So we'll take a break. He will for sure be there.
Yeah.
There will for sure be writers there.
Sure.
Hopefully Leno's going to be there.
He was there yesterday with donuts.
I know, but T, tell me what you think of this, honestly. Leno goes out there, he gets Krispy Kremes, and then it becomes a photo op where he's standing united with his riders out on the sidewalk handing everyone the Krispy Kremes. Is he back today, or is that just a photo op? Is he a better man than I for doing that, or is he worse because he's a publicity whore?
In the end, even if he is a publicity whore, it still helped the cause of the riders and is therefore a good deed.
I choose not to. Look at life that way, T. We'll take a quick break. Hopefully Leno's there and he can talk to him. We'll talk to Danny, talking to the striking writers next.
Back to the Adam Carolla Show with Adam Carolla, Danny Bonaducci, and Teresa Strasser. This morning, we sent Danny out with $500 in Girl Scout cookies to give to the striking writers. Do writers like the Thin Mints or the Samoas? Let's find out on the Adam Carolla Show.
The Dooch Man is in front of Leno's place. That's NBC over there on Olive. Danny?
Yes, sir.
What's going on?
All right. When I heard you go to break, I was parked and ready to go, and then I heard you ask about Leno, so I did a lap of the entire studio. He is nowhere. But the most violent picketers that are actually stopping cars and making the police come and get them are in front of me, and I intend to floor this Subaru right into the line of strikers before they know that I am here on their behalf. Mm-hmm. I want them to think I'm some sort of scab and see how they react.
Ooh. Nice. Boy, that'd be a YouTube moment.
And then I really think that I should call them commie bastards, and that I'm here to work and feed my family and get out of my way. And then surprise them by putting on the captain's hat I just bought at the Psycho Killer's house and being Captain Cookie.
Do you... So set the scene. Where are you now?
I am pointed head-on at a line of strikers with megaphones. They're stopping cars. They're really hassling people. They're not kidding. There's a bigger group down the road, but there's no entrance. Oh, here, now listen. A car's about to turn in, and they're just blocking his way. He's stuck in the middle of the street. Can you hear them screaming, what do we want? But then I cannot hear them saying what they want. They just, I guess, assume that we know. But I don't know what they want.
What do we want? Residuals. When do we want them?
Now. What do we want? Those little patty things that go in front of the keyboard so our wrists don't hurt? When do we want them?
Now.
Oh, they're just jumping in front of that car.
Wow.
Pigeon, dude.
Well, put the phone out the window. Let's hear him chanting.
I'm across the street. I have to cross four full lanes to do this. So when you say go, I have to hit right through traffic.
All right.
Do it.
Say go.
Go.
Here we go.
Danny's wearing a pirate hat, crossing the scab line. Oh, whoa.
My car's on fire, I think. Sorry about that.
What's on fire?
I'm only kidding. I come to feed you.
Give him the cookies.
Give him the cookies and run.
We are on strike. Bonaducci knows we're right.
That's nice.
And these bastards are hungry.
They are writers.
As many as you'd like. Adam, would you like to speak with everyone?
Yeah, I don't know. Is there a head writer there?
Head writer or anyone in charge? Is it the guy that looks like me? Because that's just creepy, dude.
Find out what show he writes for.
I'm sorry that I was ruined your whole life. I would like to tell you, Adam Carolla and Teresa Strasser about your issues here.
Oh, yeah, I can't. I'm not allowed. I have to publish this and talk about it.
What show does he write for?
I love Adam Carolla. I talk about it.
Black guy thinks you
rock. All right.
Right.
Well, the one black writer in Hollywood.
All of our black fans.
We have nothing to say without us. Without you, writers, our show. Wait. We don't have writers. But I've been on shows that would suck with you. But then again, I was on Married with Children, and that sucked with you, too.
What do we want?
Hey, Danny.
I know what you don't.
Danny, where are these guys from? What shows are they riding on?
If you actually work on shows here at NBC, yes. Without saying who you are, what shows do you work on?
We're writers for The Tonight Show, for Last Call with Carson Daly.
Last Call with Carson Daly still on?
Yes, at 1:30 in the morning.
Jesus, sooner than that. Are you fighting for that job? Jesus, that must be tough. The last joke with Carson Daly. So they are from The Tonight Show, Last Call with Carson Daly, and they are fighting for a strike, Days of Our Lives writers, and that's not an easy job. I mean, you watch them and you think, well, that's a lot of crap, but you have 30 pages of crap every day.
Writers from Ellen
are here. I'm repeating everything I'm
told. Ellen.
Oh, Ellen.
And a writer. They say it, I repeat it.
The one who came
Did
up with
the porn from that guy this morning?
No, I didn't buy the porn, but I bought the wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald, if you like.
Hey,
what show are you on?
I'm not on a show.
You're not on a show.
Screenwriter.
You're a screenwriter.
Right.
Did you write a movie that I might have seen?
Yes, I did.
I wrote a movie called
Bring It On. You might have
seen it.
Oh, my gosh. I love that movie.
Oh, about the cheerleaders?
Yeah.
Everybody stop Bring It On. You wrote it, dude.
Hey, Danny.
Yeah.
Danny, pitch Navageddon to him. Because this strike's going to be over soon, and we're going to need work.
All right, now tell me what you want me to pitch.
Pitch Pedophile.
Oh, you got it.
And Navageddon.
I have an idea for a movie he would like me to pitch to you.
Danny.
It's called Pedophile Island.
No.
You like Pedophile Island?
I know I want it.
They know it. Well, the writers all know Pedophile Island.
Oh, okay. It's called Pedophile. Well, then pitch Navageddon. Hey, Danny. Danny, we got to take a break. Give the cookies out and head back.
All right,
good times. Jesus Christ.
That sounded crazy out there.
Bedlam over there.
Yeah.
Where's Bedlam?
At NBC, apparently, this morning.
I always hear about Bedlam.
Yeah, where is it?
I don't know where it is. Where is that where the Flintstones live?
It sounds like it.
I
want
to go to Bedlam. Look, instead of going to Zion this year or Hawaii, it's vacation in Bedlam.
It's always crazy.
That's something out of the Bible. Where's Bedlam?
How about this? I just learned this. Did I get this right or wrong? Oh, yeah. World's first psychiatric hospital.
Bedlam?
What?
No, that makes sense.
Huh.
See, no one knows that. Still going there this winter.
It's an asylum?
All right. We need to take ourselves a break. We'll be right back to wrap it up next. Well, nobody to thank except for the Dooch Man in his 08 Subaru Impreza WRX. How else could you get from Fairfax over to Glendale, over to NBC, and then back home again in such record time? Now, here's the deal. He's driving this car. It's cool, although now it smells like smoke. But other than that, it's a bitchin' car. It works. It's got the navigation unit. It's got all the bells and whistles, and the money is going to charity. So bidding ends this Thursday, and all the proceeds go to Youth Homes and Family Services. So good charity, good car. No, good charity, great car. Where do you bid on it? Go to 971freefm.com to bid on it. Again, money going to a good cause and the car going to a good driveway. Yours. All right.
That's a big bitch.
Good times. And until next time, this is Adam Carolla saying mahalo. I don't F anymore. I can't F anymore.